gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The sweetest thing you've ever said to me. You look like a woman from the 60s who's had a little too much Valium.
Yeah.
I'm having a very stressful week. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Well, he's in the New York Bureau with a mop. Cleaning up. Scrubbing.
It's one clean Zuccotti, let me tell you.
Yeah.
John Siegel saying in the New York Bureau, occupying the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller
Good
Incorporated.
Morning, sugar.
Yeah, we told him we had a cleaning today. We were trying to scat him out, but he wouldn't go. So
yeah, the cops
we
never throw me out at 9 a.m., so yeah. I had to be unclean all night.
Yeah,
Wow, I was there at 5:30 this morning.
Yeah.
Which is 2:30 in the morning your time.
Yeah,
so
it is.
What happened? Tell us the breaking news. They had said they were going to have they had to be out by 7 a.m. Eastern.
They said they had to be out by 6 a.m.
6 a.m.
And everybody was saying, come to Occupy Wall Street. Come to Occupy Wall Street. So I actually got up and went because I'm leaving town, of course, tomorrow to come to L.A. for the Sexy Liberal Show at the Wadsworth next Friday and Saturday.
Woo-hoo!
Some tickets still available for Friday the 21st.
Well, funny you should mention that.
Okay, yeah.
Los Angeles. Stephanie Miller told you she wanted to love you in the most inappropriate ways. You showed your love right back. And now, after selling out the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show in just 5 days, here she goes again.
Subtle plans are here again.
On October 21st at the Wadsworth Theater, welcome the second coming of John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks' second childhood, and Stephanie Miller, who lost her Los Angeles virginity at last.
On second thought, I realize that I'm very much interested in politics.
Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 800-745-3000. So drop that box of wine and get yourself up early to score your final chance to be a part of this liberal left coast love fest.
I will not make this offer again.
Los Angeles, come get your heap and helping of sexy liberal seconds. They're guaranteed not to be sloppy.
Yep, get it. Oh, in fact, by the way, the auction for Trevor Project, some of our proceeds are going to benefit the Trevor Project.
Yes.
And we have on our Facebook page, you can get to the eBay auction. They have two, John, VIP passes for Saturday night.
Two?
Those were gone months ago. Two party passes plus a backstage visit in addition to the meet and grope, and they are being auctioned off on the eBay.
Yes.
On the eBay,
on
as the
eBay.
Kids are calling it.
Hot.
All right. Awesome.
Yes.
By the way, because there's so much focus on New York, Jackie in Fargo says, Steph, this weekend there will be Occupy Fargo rally in downtown Fargo, North Dakota.
Awesome.
Your show. Enjoyed meeting you at Sexy Liberal in Minneapolis. Tell the folks from me if they haven't gone, they must. The show was great. Jackie, a little unsolicited testimonial
sexy
for the sexy liberalness. Awesome.
Sexy girl.
Yeah, so
it was amazing this morning. I'll make it really quick. So
yes.
There's over 1,000 people were gathered.
Please, I got nothing but time.
Oh, I can't even tell you.
You can stretch. I'd appreciate it, in fact.
We got 3 hours to fill.
Well, then I'll talk really slow. There were police everywhere. Police were surrounding Zuccotti Park. It was pitch dark. There was, I couldn't even tell you how many people. I look forward to the estimates. But there was so much media, so many cameras.
Fox says there were three.
Yeah, you knew they couldn't do anything. I mean, you just knew it. You know, if Gandhi had iPhones, the British would have left India 2 years sooner. Because it's just, you can't wrestle people down anymore. There's phones everywhere with cameras in them. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So people were gathered, and the way that everyone communicates is there's no PA system. They'll just yell, mic check, and everyone repeats, mic check. And then the person who's speaking will make an announcement, and everyone repeats it. Like, hundreds of people will repeat. So they'll say, I have an announcement. People go, I have an announcement.
Oh, it's like a game of telephone.
It's a huge game of telephone, like how the Bible was written.
And then the final person says, the message is Fliegen in the Flargenbargen?
Exactly right.
What?
You'll say, the city has announced that they are postponing the cleaning. We can all stay here. And the last people hear, my testicles are full of angry blue ferrets.
Awesome. And then everyone gathers around that person. Like, check this guy out.
Yeah, but
he's
a lot of great media types.
Hmm?
I saw a lot of good comics there. Lee Camp was there, who was a friend of this show, and Ted Alexandro, and a lot of great journalists there, and Fox News was there. So, you know, all of our pals. But
yeah.
I was on Fox News last weekend debating all this with Angela McGlowan, the token black female conservative they have. And that's right.
Yes.
God bless her.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I just kept saying, you know, y'all can try and marginalize this protest all you want. Y'all can, like, talk about how it smells or call them flea baggers, or you guys can talk about how it's not defined yet.
Oh, that's funny.
Yet.
Is that their joke,
flea baggers? Hilarious, isn't it? But I'll tell you something. Fox News' worst nightmare is when conservative people realize that this protest speaks for them. If you're mad about trickle-down not working, if you're mad about the derivatives and NAFTA under Clinton, if you're mad about Bush cutting taxes for the wealthy while having two wars off the books, even if you're mad about Obama
I'm
not fixing all
of this. I'm mad
about
a bunch of different assorted things. I may just go for my own personal grievances.
Exactly. You should. You go there and complain about anything. Carry a sign. You know, there's every I mean, you know, any protest is an umbrella on the left or the right. So every fringe job will show up and make it entertaining. So you've got your free Mumia Abu-Jabal people right next to your, you know, tax the 1%.
Right.
Right next to your hemp people. So
those hemp people are always
there. They're always there.
Seriously. Yeah. Every anti-war rally I've ever been to, hemp people.
It's all the fun of a Tea Party rally with none of the misspelled signs.
By the way, this is, looky here, this is a, you know what, oftentimes I get, not just hate mail, John, I'll get like a hate envelope.
Yeah.
I find the hatiest of the hate mails are actually snail mail these days.
Yeah, you get hate packets.
Maybe they're mad about the post office going away because of the Republicans.
Daryl Issa wants to take away your post office.
Yeah.
Yes, he
does.
This
could be from Daryl Issa. Anyway, somebody, can you see this on Ustream? Someone sent me a hate envelope with a bite taken out of the corner. There's no, and there's nothing you can tell. There's no letter inside.
Right.
All the messages are on the outside. And it, but this is one of those on the fine line. You know, John, what a fine line there is between love and hate. Mm. We've talked. Anyway.
You should write that down.
Anyway, we so it's one of those, like, you can tell it's a fan, it's a listener, but one that's really kind
of
goes back and forth, maybe.
Yeah.
Between
hate
and... Yeah, well, Lurleen, how do I get the words in the big box is written there, so maybe that's like, she's a slut, look at her slut, that's one of our soundbites. Don't be a Moran. Glory hole, that was one of my
eight
guys wanted to shove something up my, I'm not one, he wrote this.
I am not one of your fans!
So it's just kind of catchphrases and then from the show and then a bite out of the envelope, so I'm not really sure on balance what it means.
If someone would write, I am not one of your fans on the outside of an envelope, maybe they're not...
Or maybe
fans.
They're just a fan of the soundbite.
I am not
or Mommy Dearest.
One of your fans!
Could be.
He's the official bipolar stalker of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, I...
Listen, there's a few of those. All right, John Fugelsang. we got us, and by the way, then the big party in San Francisco is the weekend right after Los Angeles.
Some tickets still available for Friday night at the Orpheum.
Yeah, just for Friday, Friday
night. Can
I
also say that I'm really tired. I'm going to say this throughout the show. All of you people who think you're funny making these 666 jokes about the 999 plan are so deeply offensive to me as a Satanist.
Yes.
Now, would I worship the Lord Satan if he wanted to just, you know, do something as mild as making the rich pay more taxes and making the rich pay less taxes, making the poor pay more? I mean, it's so insulting to the Dark One.
Yeah. You know? Yes. Yes.
Tonight, when I sacrifice my goat in the pentagram, it's going to be that you guys stop with this offensive humor.
Exactly.
It's so wrong.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Satanists against 999.
By the way, Ecclesiastical Mook, here's Herman Cain, as you are comedy Jesus. Mm-hmm. Here is Herman Cain yesterday.
I felt like Moses when God said, I want you to go into Egypt and lead my people out.
Oh, dear.
Moses resisted. I resisted.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God.
Well, at least it's a Republican candidate that doesn't think God wants him to be president. He actually thinks he's Moses. So that's...
You know, Gaddafi will still be in power when he drops out of the race.
He says he's not the flavor of the month because he's black walnut, and that's...
The flavor of the week might have some substance. Black walnut isn't a flavor of the week.
It'd be so funny if a liberal said that about him.
Okay, and here he is on his 999.
Because you don't pay it on used stuff. It gives the decision as to how they stretch their dollar... To the consumer.
Ah, uh-huh.
I think Herman Cain will be the first ever black man to get another black man reelected president.
Yeah.
John, what, seriously, what do you make of that? What is going on with Herman Cain being the front runner in these couple of polls now? What?
I don't know, but if I was John Huntsman, I'd be cursing the God that made me. Because when does John Huntsman get to be flavor of the week? When is his?
Yeah, he's apparently... Everyone has passed him by at the Baskin-Robbins counter.
Oh, Santorum is furious. But, you know, a lot of pundits have pointed out Mitt Romney has stayed consistent. Mitt Romney has been 23%. Three out of four Republicans don't want him, but he's the only guy whose numbers have stayed the same. Everybody else has shot up and shot down. Perry is now below Gingrich in the latest NBC poll.
Yeah.
So, you know, Herman Cain is, you know, of course he's popular because, look, first off, he makes people feel a lot better about all the racism that's been directed at Obama. Secondly... he's entertaining as heck. I love the guy. I hope he stays in the race for a long time. I'm praying he's the GOP nominee, to be frank. And finally, you know, we've just beginning to see the Republicans realize how evil his plan is and how screwed up and how it won't ever sustain and how it will destroy business
right,
in this country.
That's what I was just going to talk about. Let's talk about the layers of awful in the awful 999 lasagna.
If you're a businessman, you can't write off anything anymore under this plan.
Yeah, it's okay. Well, here's Herman Cain, and then let's.
Someone once said, "Simplicity is genius," and I think this is why I got so many arrows last night relative to 999 because it is a well thought out, well developed plan.
Alan Keyes is kicking himself somewhere.
Yeah. What did I do wrong? I was supposed to be the official self-loving black man.
I had bad ideas, just not any that bad. I mean, it really is incredible. It's like you would think any like fourth grader can go that. Well, that doesn't math. That math doesn't work. I think we need some 666 music for the 999 plan. By the way,
deeply offensive to my people.
I know. Did he just say that it was well thought out? Because someone asked him one point about it, about how it would work, and he said, "I have no idea." Literally said, yep. "I have no idea."
And there are reports this morning that the 999 plan came from the video game SimCity.
The name of it.
The name of it. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. It would scrap. Just so you know, bring you up to date. It would scrap the current tax code in favor of a 9% personal income tax, a 9% corporate income tax, and 9% sales tax on everything, including food.
Mm-hmm. And you know what that means, poor people who live check to check, you're paying more taxes.
Hello. Cain, when faced with an analysis showing how much his plan would wallop the low-income Americans, dismissed them, calling them erroneous.
Yes.
But it turns out Cain isn't particularly well-versed in the nuances of his plan. Asked how his proposed corporate income tax would apply to products built in other countries and designed and sold in the U.S., he said, "I have no idea."
Oh, God.
Because that's the case with most things. I think they're talking about Apple products, but most products that...
What he's talking
under,
about is tariffs. Yeah. I mean, he's saying that for businesses, you'll be okay if you make your goods are made here in America. He's saying that we won't tax businesses if you make your goods here. If you are taxed, if you don't make your goods here, you're taxed 9%. That's going to destroy the economy. It'll never happen. The Republican Party, we signed three more free trade agreements this week that all reinforce this.
Yeah.
It's completely insane because
if
he did that, every other country would do it and start taxing us, and we would never export anything again from this country.
Right. I mean, but the major, before you even get to that, the major monstrosity of it is that we're already talking about these huge deficits and the need for revenue. Well, he would give them a huge tax cut even further than they have now.
Even further.
Yeah. ABC reported a long list of economists say Keynes' plan would be a tax hike for the lower middle class and a tax windfall for the wealthy. A conservative economist, Bruce Bartlett, wrote that at minimum the Keynes plan is a distributional monstrosity.
Mm-hmm. And what someone asked him was, what about Apple? If your product was made, if the pieces were made in China, you know, and the company's here, and they were assembled in a third country, what do you do then? And
that's
when
he said,
I have no idea.
All right. 19 minutes.
Would that be a 9% tariff on each different part?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You see how simple the 999 plan is? All right.
Yeah, he's doing NAMBLA on NAFTA.
John Fugelsang with the tip in at the buzzer. 19 minutes after the hour, back from Fridays at Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
They degrade women and beavers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, what a great song. Great song. That's Paul playing guitar on that. George wrote it and sang it, but Paul played lead on this one.
He's the Beatles savant.
Yes.
John
Fugelsang
in the New York Bureau.
Things
Amherst,
everyone should know.
John and Amherst called. He couldn't hang anyone to tell us we're racist because we don't like Herman Cain. Because, as you know, all of our comments in the opening segment were based on his race and not on his awful 999 plan.
Of course.
Did
and
we
we're reverse racist because we like Obama.
Yeah, right. Did we? I see. That's what they want to say. Yeah, you just don't see. Now you're gonna get the same thing that we. Except that yours was based on race because there were bones to the president's nose and blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
Did I play the cut 7 yet? The Herman Cain on. All right, then give me my 999 music. John, here are the three things you need to know about Herman Cain's 999 plan.
Tell me, dear.
Well, I think quite. I clearly, I think we are, the Center for American Progress, good at condensing and whatever the fun facts, it will raise taxes on middle and low-income Americans by a lot. Just FYI, his tax plan consists of 9% taxes, one on wage income, one on sales of goods and services, as we said, including food, housing, medicine. How helpful. And one on business income. Investments and purchases from other businesses are deductible. Wages, however, are not. Most Americans will end up paying all three of those taxes, however, for a combined tax rate of 27% of their income.
Wages are not deductible, by the way. That's hilarious if you really care about business.
Yeah. That's because middle and low-income Americans get all or nearly all their income from ordinary wages, all of which would be subject to his 9% wage tax. Then they spend all their income, which means they would be taxed again by the 9% sales tax.
Finally, and you'll pay 9 cents on the dollar for food.
Finally, the burden of the 9% business income tax would be passed on to them as well, either in the form of lower wages, since wages are not deductible, or in the form of higher prices for goods and services. Isn't this all helpful? Thank you, Think Progress. Compare that to the current tax code, under which someone in the bottom quintile pays 2% of their income in federal taxes, and someone in the middle quintile pays 15%. So this will be 27%. You'd be paying
that. Wow.
The fact is, pretty much everyone making up to around $100,000 a year would pay more under Keynes' plan than they do now. Number two, 999 will get the rich a huge tax cut because it would operate in practice as a 9% tax on wages and 18% taxes on goods and services. Only a fraction of a wealthy household's income will end up subject to these taxes. That's because wealthy people get a lot of their income from capital gains, which are exempt from, exempt from the wage tax, and they don't spend all their income, so anything they save won't be subject to taxes either. Today, someone in the richest 1% pays about 30%.
Mm-hmm.
The tax rate would drop all the way down to 13.5% to them. That's even lower than what middle-income people pay today. Also, 999 would cause massive deficits, which is just what we need.
Of course, because you're not taking any tax money in anymore.
Right. Enormous amounts of new debt. Despite his claims to the contrary, I don't know what he's basing that on. 999 would not raise nearly enough revenue to close the budget deficit. 999 would still only generate about 14% of GDP in revenue. That's even less than we're collecting now when revenue levels are at historic lows.
Yeah.
Yes.
Instead of the rich being taxed at 36% like they are under Bush and Obama, or 39% like under Clinton, or under 50% as they were under Reagan, now it'll be 9%.
And don't forget, most every state has a sales tax as well. So if you're like here in California, we have a 9% sales tax. Add another 9% federal sales tax onto that. You're going to be paying 18% tax on everything you buy and every service you use.
Fortunately, housing is so cheap here, so that should all work out fine for us. We've got plenty of extra cash around.
Wow.
Unfortunately, all these Republicans claiming to love Herman Cain aren't donating money to him.
Hmm. Hey, what did you say the tax rate was under Reagan that you were just talking about?
It began at 50%.
Right.
And that's why they want us to believe that trickle-down worked under 50% at Reagan, but it doesn't work at 36% under Obama. It was 28% when Reagan left. Under Clinton, it was 39%, which is all Obama's tried to do is raise it 3 crummy points.
I love the reason I brought that up is because there's a headline today that Michelle Bachmann wants to go to Reagan tax rates, which, hey, they were higher. Read a book. Get a straight husband.
And she's a tax lawyer.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Karen Nussbaum from the AFL-CIO next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you have any ethical qualms regarding
Stephanie Miller?
It's one of the few forms of interaction with people that I don't find repellent.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by Scott's Miracle-Gro. Make the most of fall. Visit Scotts.com today. Sexy liberal John Fugel saying in the New York Bureau, occupying, in fact, the New York Bureau.
Yes. We won't leave.
I don't want you to. I invited you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry then.
All right, fine.
But you better get out of there in 2.5 hours.
We were just trying to gin up some controversy, as we're known to do in talk radio.
Yeah.
All right. Karen Nussbaum is president of Working America. It's a community affiliate of the AFL-CIO. She joins us now. Karen, I saw you all over the TV last night kicking some ass.
Well, thank you, Stephanie. Glad to be with you again today.
Nice to be with you, too. Well, you know, it's interesting, this whole Occupy Wall Street movement that's going on, because I know the unions have gotten involved, but it's a fine line there, isn't it? Because it really is a grassroots thing.
Well, it's a, you know, it's a grassroots thing. It's got a lot of parallel channels happening, and it's all the same message, Stephanie, isn't it? It's people are fed up. There, it's enough already with the undue influence of corporate control over, and Wall Street influence and government. And it's what we've all been saying for a long time, and the occupiers have finally gotten a big enough megaphone that people hear an echo. So we're all going in the same direction on this.
Karen, I heard a lot of people yesterday drawing the line between Madison and what's happening now, and I think, you know, it certainly is very similar themes, isn't it?
It is, and it's the very same kind of spark where the issues have been bubbling. We, you know, we talk to thousands of people in there on their front porches every single night, and we hear the same discussion. You know, where are the jobs? How come corporations have the biggest profits ever, and yet there's not a single new job in my community? But with Madison, all of a sudden, people were came together around it. We see it now with Occupy, where people of all kinds are coming together around it, and they're giving voice to what have been those private agonies that have been going on. Stephanie, it reminds me of the battle in Seattle from 1999, where, you know, the global economy had been wrecking the expectations of working families for a few decades, but it wasn't until 50,000 people showed up in Seattle that there was a language for it, and all of a sudden it became common wisdom that the global economy was hurting people and the environment and only profiting multinational corporations. That's the moment we've got now.
And how do you connect people like your members to this movement rather than, you know, losing them to the right or wherever on these? Because this is, you know, I think it's a very volatile, fast-moving thing.
Oh, my gosh. It's the crucial issue, I think. You know, Nixon had his silent majority, which was neither a majority nor very silent. If the right succeeds in peeling off and driving a wedge between the occupiers, the folks in the parks, and the folks at home, then we lose. So every night we are out talking to people about what's happening in the parks and tying their concerns. We've got to keep that connection sound. You know, we talk about working America as for the 99%. We've got to keep people tied in together.
Well, and Karen, you know, you look at poll after poll, and the American people are largely on our side on these issues. And you're right, it's how to harness that in 2012, right, rather than having just be, you know, this sort of what's disparate kind of anger, but that doesn't mobilize people, right?
You're exactly right. I think there are two really important things here. One is that people get what the problems are, but what they don't have is any sense of power. They feel so powerless in comparison. Oh, me and my family against these big corporations or against Wall Street. The Occupy movement changes that. It gives people a sense that, oh, yeah, you can speak up around that. So that's the main thing. There is strength in numbers. Reintroducing that back into the common wisdom of this country is really crucial. And keeping the integrity of this is not about some party. This is not about some election. This is about what we need in this country.
Well,
and if we keep our focus there, then we'll be okay.
Look what just happened in Congress, Karen. I mean, it, you know, again, you know, the headline yesterday was the president's jobs plan, very popular with Americans, not with Senate Republicans. I mean, you know, I think it's becoming clearer and clearer that, you know, the Republicans are not going to help at all on jobs.
That's exactly right. But unless we are clear about we know what we want, we are not backing down, and there will not be business as usual in this country until some of our politicians begin to follow us, not just where their money is coming from. And that's the change we need to make.
Well, yeah, I mean, the president said that, right? He said, not this time, you know, not this time. We're moving on to, you know, the next news cycle, the next issue, the next fight, because this is the fight right now, isn't
that's
it,
right.
in this country and in our generation, jobs. I mean, that's the fight.
And it's worth pointing out that a lot of this protest is against the two-party system. It's not partisan, as you just said. It is really people who are fed up with the whole system in general.
You know, it's a system that stopped reflecting voters some time ago, and that's what people are saying. Why is it that my vote doesn't count anymore? And we can make our vote count if we begin to show by our actions, whether it's because we're in a drum circle in a park and, you know, found our, you know, smelly sleeping bag, or just because
right.
we're those millions of people out there who are hurting and angry and until now are, have been isolated.
Karen, some people, you know, on the left have said, you know, this could be the left's Tea Party. You know, if it's in the sense that it to me drives the, you know, the Democratic Party more to the left, then I say good, because it's these conservatives that stopped us in many ways. Isn't it from getting a public option, from getting, I mean, even on this latest, you know, jobs bill, two Democrats voted with Republicans. I mean, John makes a point, right, that people are frustrated at this point with both parties in that sense.
Oh, gosh. Absolutely. I completely agree with you, but I do think there's hope. I think if we find every night, we talk to people. To talk to people in the center, you need to talk sense, which means that you need to go to the left.
Well, Karen, that's what I'm saying.
Compromise.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I don't care what Fox News says. This
right.
is not a left or right issue. If you go down just on issues as people, you know, want the wealthy to pay their fair share. They don't want Social Security and Medicare destroyed. They don't, you know, they want this jobs bill. They want, I mean, on each and every issue, I don't even think that's liberal or conservative, and yet the Republicans, to me, are so far to the right. You know, and there's John Boehner on TV yesterday saying, we're just continuing to listen to the American people. It's like, no, you're not. Not on one issue, right?
You're exactly right. And I'll give you one measure of the success of this. You know, during Wisconsin, Working America added, I don't know, 20,000 new members in a month. It was just phenomenal. We've added 25,000 members this week. Mm. People want to have hope that they can change things. They know it's about a system that fails to do anything in their interest, but that we can, that what we need is to bring that power of democracy back and produce some jobs in this country. You know, it's about jobs and democracy. That's where people are at.
And what do you make of, you know, I mean, we'll see, but obviously people are saying they think Mitt Romney is going to be the nominee. On the Republican side, and here he is, you know, running as he's the job creator. He was 47th in job creation in Massachusetts when he was governor, and he talks about his you know, private sector experience. His experience was outsourcing jobs, wasn't it?
He created them in Asia.
Yeah.
You know, this is he represents what people see, which is record profits that companies are sitting on, record bonuses and salaries for Wall Street executives, and not a single new job. So nobody wants that in this country. And if it's, I've been shocked in these Republican debates about how none of the candidates are willing to say that there's any problem with Wall Street. They say it was the government that brought the economy down. Are they crazy? It makes no sense.
Yeah. I love, Bill Kristol said that the Occupy Wall Street, they're protesting the overregulation of Wall Street. That's what that's what it's about.
Oh, my gosh.
But, I mean, talk about, you know, people trying to co-opt this, because I think you're right. It's that, what's that Gandhi quote about, first they mock you, then they, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the progression here, isn't it? Is now the right, I think, is getting seriously scared, so now they're trying to co-opt it and go, no, this is about our issues.
Right. And, you know, one thing we want to be really careful about is that this doesn't become about, you know, police in the parks or whatever. Let's keep our focus on what has been so eloquently put out there by the occupiers. You know, this is about inequality. It's about young people not having any jobs. It's about the unemployed having nowhere to turn in the context of you know, corporations that are unfettered and operate only in their most narrow self-interest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's what, you know, the other thing I love that, you know, the right wing, it's like they keep saying, if they repeat it enough, they keep saying, it's just so unclear what they want. I don't really know what this is about.
God.
And it's like, you know, I think what they're scared of is it couldn't be clearer.
That's
we are
right.
The 99% is so understandable, isn't it?
It is. This is, I think, to the person, they've been really clear. We're fed up. We want jobs. We want a country that operates in the interest of the 99%. What else do you need?
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
exactly what people are saying on their front porches. It's exactly what they're saying in their kitchen tables.
It was what all those folks were telling us in Madison. You know, they just want a fair shake. People just want a fair shake.
And you know what I love about this? My 23-year-old daughter got turned on to this because she saw it in Paris Hilton. This message is going everywhere, and that's what we need to hold on to and make sure that this doesn't become about people in the parks are different from people at home. It's not true. Let's keep this knit together.
Yep, absolutely. Karen, thanks so much for, as always, fighting the good fight and updating us on what's going on. It's workingamerica.org, and there's a link up at stephaniemiller.com. Karen, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, there she goes. I love when they're on the TV last second and they're on here. I was watching the TV, John, and I'm like, well, she's going to be on my show tomorrow. Check me out.
I'm going to be on Chris Hayes' Up tomorrow morning again.
Really?
Yes, I am.
And
I
last time, John Fugelsang was able to hit on Nancy Pelosi and get in a plug for Sexy Liberal.
I'll be doing the same.
What is Chris
Hayes? It was the most just ham-handed plug ever, and it was so spectacular.
Well, I did hit on her just for the team, but everything we just heard is true. And I was on Fox and Friends over the past weekend. They've been having me on Fox a lot lately, and you know I'm always paired with a conservative who just wants to belittle Occupy Wall Street. Mm-hmm. And I finally just said, you know what? You can try everything you want to do to marginalize it, but it's not going to work. And your worst nightmare as a conservative is that conservative folks are going to realize, hey, I'm mad that these wars are making us broke. I'm mad that trickle-down didn't work.
Yep.
I'm mad about NAFTA. I'm mad about derivatives. And I'm mad that 1% of the population controls 42% of the wealth, and 80% controls 6% of the wealth, because it ain't sane, it ain't sustainable, and it ain't conservative.
I love that my sexy liberal men are handing right-wingers their head across the television spectrum. Alan Grayson was just on this week. Here, P.J. O'Rourke, here's your head back.
Oh, I went out for drinks with a Fox producer the other night, and she's like, I can't believe we keep booking you on the channel.
Yeah. I know.
How
do you keep getting booked?
Yeah, they usually don't
book smart
progressives who fight back.
Yeah.
Well, I know, and God bless Alan Colmes. He's a lovely guy, but, it, you know, they'll have me on a lot, and then they'll realize who I am, and then they stop having me on for, 3 years straight.
That's what happened to me. I am in the Fox wilderness right now, and gleefully so.
You've been in the Fox wilderness for about 5 years now.
But I actively try to get thrown off Fox News.
It's too bad, because they're the happiest place on earth. I mean, you ever been to CNN? Oh my God, everyone there's in a coal mine, and MSNBC is like a penal colony. I mean, not MSNBC, they're happy. But CNBC is like
CNBC.
A penal colony.
Yeah.
But Fox News, oh man, when you sign that pact and kiss the cloven hoof of Satan, you have a happy time at work. There's a lot of lovely people who work at Fox News who know they're at a propaganda channel.
Yeah.
They just happen to be good at what they do.
I have a friend.
Is there a wink? Is there a special code and a wink and a handshake?
Yeah,
we know.
Well, the other night I said to my friend, you know, can you miss the GOP debate if we go out? And my friend said back, oh please, what, these talking points, I know them all day long.
Yeah.
I had another liberal friend that's on Fox News, and I told her how I got thrown off. She goes, oh, Stephanie, you know that's not, you can't do that. Stephanie, you know. Because I criticized Fox News on Fox News. She's like, oh, no, that's the Holy Grail.
Well,
you can't.
You criticized Neil Cavuto to his face.
Yeah, he's Neil Cavuto.
And then he took you to the woodshed the next day when you couldn't fight
they're
back.
They're really big men when I'm not there anymore
that's
to
right.
defend myself.
Mm-hmm. But see, the point is that when you're on Fox News or any of these right-wing radio shows, and I do a lot. I always like to do it. They book me thinking I'm going to fight, and I won't fight them. They're our friends. But I will always just reach out to the conservatives in the audience and say, hey, wouldn't a real conservative say that having two wars off the books while you're cutting taxes isn't conservative? You just use their own logic against them, whether it be the Constitution or the Bible. You're never going to convince them, but you will convince the bystanders.
Yep. All right. 48 minutes after the hour. Breaking news. Speaking of sexy liberals like John Fugelsang, we have breaking sexy liberal news when we return.
We do.
48.
Oh, yes, we do.
48 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
They call me her. They call me
Stephanie Miller.
That's not my name. They call me
it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 53 minutes after the hour, occupying the L.A. studio while sexy liberal John Fugelsang is occupying the New York studio. What's that? Breaking sexy liberal news. Roland, the Jew director, says he got an email from the L.A. box office. Literally, there are just in the, double digits of tickets left for Friday. They will be sold out, they think, by today or tomorrow for the second added show. Friday, October 21st in Los
it's
Angeles.
It's not even election year yet.
Hurry. SexyLiberal.com and SexyLiberal on Facebook. Saturday was sold out
5 days ago, yeah.
6 months ago. Except the Trevor Project is auctioning off two VIP tickets on eBay, so check that out.
Yep.
At Sex and Liberal on Facebook as well.
Yeah, right. The right wing can't stand that we lefties are capitalists.
Oh, I forgot that was the other breaking news. Someone sent me the Sexy Liberal Tour has just broken $1 million. As
really?
Austin Powers would say, we will. Roland says we are on track to be the number one comedy tour in America this year.
Does that mean that? Well, does that mean that
I don't
we'll
understand.
Get paid soon? Does
I
that
don't,
mean that
apparently,
I'll get paid?
I'm. Yeah, I'm missing some myself.
You guys get paid for that?
Well, allegedly we get paid
give
for
money
that.
To sexy liberal causes as well, like Trevor Project here in Los Angeles. We've given to workers' rights. That's where this all started in Madison. We gave to the recalls. We've given to animal rescue, marriage equality. Sexy liberalness.
Anti-fracking in Syracuse.
Thank you. Greg in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph.
Hi, Greg.
I'll make this as quick as I can. First, let me say that I am 100% in support of any occupation movement. I don't care if it's in any small hamlet. It doesn't matter to me. It should be going on everywhere. However, I don't want – here's what I'll say. I want the door to be cracked open with the issues of the bank and jobs and things of that nature. But I want the door to be kicked open wide when this occupation movement focuses on the government as a whole. Because it's one thing that the bank can give you notice that you got to get out of your house. It's one thing that the banks can give you a bad loan or whatever that. But the government, state, local, and federal, enforces the police and the sheriffs to kick you out of your house. The government enforces the laws that make the Federal Reserve do what it does, and the IRS. The government should be rehauled, not necessarily add new idiots, but it should be rehauled.
New idiots. What do you mean rehauled exactly?
In other words, first of all, even though he's sitting in the wrong room, Ron Paul has some interesting points. All of them
yes,
are
he does. And then he has some equally awful points. He has
right,
some,
exactly.
Yeah.
Just as all politicians do. I think they both all of them.
I don't know.
Tell me what I mean.
Ron Paul is the sanest and the craziest at the same time.
Exactly. That's the point I'm making. But what I'm saying is the points that he makes that are sane are legitimately sane, and they make the most sense if you're going to make government.
Can we elect just the same? Can we elect just the same parts of them? Is that possible? Can it be like a Chinese menu? Can
Please?
We break people into the parts that we like? Wouldn't that be so much easier for relationships in general?
I just want his mushu.
I
don't want the.
I don't like the
intestines.
I don't like the tortilla things. Whatever those are.
The what?
The flour tortilla. I don't want that.
Okay. Yeah, flour tortillas at a Chinese restaurant.
With the mushu, I don't use those. Do you, John? Do you use the pancakes for the mushu? I don't.
No, I'm trying to be gluten free, Steph.
Okay.
There are some parts of Korean barbecue that I don't eat.
I'm glad that I just drove us off the rails and you guys came with me.
Here.
Yeah, well, where's Steph's show? Oh, there it is, back on the cliff. Yeah, it's up there.
All right. I was going to do Right Wing World, but now I'm doing a sex toy story instead.
What?
Because I've run out of time. This is just let this be a lesson to you. Gawker reports woman attacked by bloodthirsty sex toy suing company.
Wait a minute, the sex toy suing the company or the woman
I'll
is suing
the
company?
Explain the whole thing. What was supposed to be an enjoyable sexual experience for a California woman and her boyfriend turned into a bloody, painful horror show that involved the untimely death of several innocent maxi pads and required a trip to the hospital.
Oh, God.
The
oh,
alleged
dear.
Source of the all this violence and anguish, a vengeful vibrator. At least that's
what
Bonjour claims in her lawsuit filed against Pipe Dream Products, the company that sold her the demonic dildo.
Oh, dear.
She lost consciousness, required a blood transfusion. Yikes.
Oh.
What?
Her son was terrified. He thought I was dying. She said, quite frankly, so did I. Imagine being killed by a sex toy. How would your surviving family member ever explain that one to the neighbors? This might have to go on my list of ways I hope to die. That might be better than being crushed by a whale penis.
Yeah.
Wow. I just want someone to have to give the eulogy.
God, used to be attacked by humans. Now I'm attacked by a machine.
Yeah, she's... she sued them, and then they're suing her back. That did not end well. Yikes.
They didn't cover this in that Will Smith movie, I, Robot.
Yikes. 59 minutes after the hour, back with Fridays with Bugles Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm
Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. Sexyliberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Karen in Red Feather Lakes, Colorado, writes a love letter. Steph, I turned 50 today. Oh, I'm 50, and I like to stretch.
And kick and stretch.
You and I are sisters of different Republican mothers. Mine is 77. I have a Republican brother who pummeled me as a kid.
Wow.
No kids. Grew up in the upper Midwest where they have those funny accents, and I have two giant dogs that sleep with me, and the box wine industry loves me. She's me. Not sure how long I've been a listener and a fan. So old I fart dust. Me too.
Oh, dear.
Me too.
Oh, no. Stop that now.
But I can be counted among those whose day is not complete till I've heard your show, Podcast 495 Bling.
50's the new 49.
Exactly. What? When tickets for Sexy Liberal went on sale in Denver, City by the Bay.
We love you, Denver! City by the Bay!
No one ever writes me a letter without writing City by the Bay
right
next to Denver. I think they're going to put a bay there just because.
I think San Francisco may start suing Denver for taking away their
I was
slogan.
Among the first to nail down Good Seeks, Row 6 Center Orchestra. Make a note of that, John Fugas.
Oh, that was her, yeah.
Yeah. No, well, it's not for till Denver in December.
Oh, that will be her.
Yes. Haven't sprung the news yet on my husband. He's going along, but after 22 years, he knows what's good for him and will do as his warden asks of him. John the Ecclesiastical Mook is especially a hero to me. My whole family are Christian Tea Party folk. They live in Alaska. And I love how John eviscerates
oxymorons
them with his knowledge of all things biblical. Yay. Now I'm off to use the Google machine to find the clip of Sally O'Malley, who is 50. See you in Denver, City by the Bay.
We love you, Denver, City by the Bay.
WTF was Roland thinking, dress warm. It's fine in December, I'm told. It's fine in Denver. We're going. When is it? December 17th, it's the big Chris Mahana Kwanzaa show, everybody.
Chris Mahana Kwanzaa.
Denver's already had snow this season.
Yes, they have. They had a lot last Sunday.
So Stephanie will wear open-toed shoes.
Right.
Like you did in D.C. that one.
And a furry hat with the balls not under my chin.
Yes.
Like I used to wear in Buffalo.
You haven't had that in a long time.
That was
no hat.
Save that for the teabagging.
Yeah.
I had a furry hat with balls under my chin. I was the original teabagger in Lockport, New York. You know, that's the hat you tie the balls right.
I think Elton John had one.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Your chin. Okay.
Certainly.
All right. Liz writes, Steph, I love the show. Can you please play that Rick Perry history lesson thing again? I was driving to work yesterday. I had to pull over because I could not stop laughing. Yes, pay attention, children. It's, Mike and Raleigh has a little.
Howdy from Texas. This is Governor Rick Perry, and this is today's history lesson about the American Revolution. Listen up now. In 1514, we took a little trip to start the revolution on the mighty Mississippi.
Oh, boy.
We took our powdered wigs, and we wore our Levi's jeans, and we fought the Japanese in the town of New Orleans. We fired our guns, and the Nazis kept a coming. There wasn't as many as there was a Shiloh. We sent Paul Revere to free the slaves while ringing his bells as he rode his horse to take on Mexico. And that's how it all happened. Yeah, he rode through the Russians and he rode through the Germans who bombed Pearl Harbor. Yeah, I bet you didn't know. He rode so fast that Geronimo surrendered to Benjamin Franklin at the Alamo.
All right. Thank you, Mike and Riley. That's a joke about Rick Perry being dopier about history than Michelle Bachmann and Sarah Palin put together.
He said the American Revolution was in the 16th century.
Yes, he did.
Hey, history's not my expertise, and neither is debating.
Yeah.
Doggy now. Watch me while this haystack again. Honey, get the bat team the tweezers again.
Polling below Gingrich. Polling below Gingrich.
Did you see that Rick Perry's wife?
Anita, please and thank you. Hi, I'm Anita Perry.
Is saying that her husband is...
We're picking on him because he's Christian.
Well, yeah, because America hates Christians.
Sure.
Being brutalized and... Eating up and cheating up in the press to where
brutalized.
I need to say we're being brutalized by
we're treating them pretty ugly
in our own party. So much of that is, I think they look at him because of his faith.
Yeah, Christians who execute record numbers of people. Mm. That's what Jesus would do.
I don't think I've heard anybody reference anything about Rick Perry in terms of his religion.
No,
it's more his awful policies and ideas. That I've heard.
Well,
Phil.
He has none, apparently.
I'll reference his religion plenty, because Jesus overturned the death penalty in Sermon on the Mount, where he completely erased eye for an eye. This guy is not a Christian. He's a Christian in name only, or Chino.
I'm sorry, God warrior. He's not a what?
He's a Chino.
Mm-hmm. Chino. God warrior!
All right. Chinos tend to be old, wrinkled, white, and irregular.
All right. Yeah. Hey, here's the good news. Rick Perry has finally topped a new presidential poll against Katy Perry and Tyler Perry.
And not Joe Perry?
No, he didn't get in this one. Against
Katy
Perry. Texas governor, 41% to 18% over Katy Perry. A little more of a squeaker over Tyler Perry. That's 38% to 18% over Tyler Perry. But I understand that Katy Perry has kissed more girls than he has. If you're listening to the rumors and coming out of I don't know.
Did you see the last poll question on that page? I think it was on the second page I gave you.
No. What is it?
I don't see it. Oh,
I hate this song.
Come on.
Hate this song.
I just don't refer to the gay rumors about Rick Perry coming out of Texas again. That's ridiculous.
Okay.
Tyler Perry bought Rick
Perry.
Oh, I got it.
Perry. Okay, I got it. Do you agree with or disagree with the following statement? I kissed a girl and I liked it. Agree, 42%. Disagree, 31%. Not sure, 27%.
This was a real poll that someone took.
That's hilarious.
I wonder what Marcus Bachman had to say about that. I kissed the girl just to try it, and it was
I hate that song. Hate that
Why
song.
Do you hate that song? It's
because
a good pop song.
First off, it's not a good pop song. She has a good voice, but it's not a good song. Secondly, it rips off a Jill Sobule song by the same title.
Right.
Thirdly,
it just shares the same title.
It's bisexual fetishization. It's a girl who kisses another girl to impress a guy.
You can dance to it. Thank you. Oh, that was weird.
It's insulting to real bisexual women. It's insulting to bisexual women.
What's the other one with the Daisy Dukes? I love that one,
bisexual women hate that song.
All right.
Well, then why don't they hate I Kissed a Girl by Jill Sobule?
Because at the end she says, I might do it again. It's not just like a one-time fling. I can't believe I'm having this conversation.
John, it is possible to like both those songs,
Batman's butt is a rod of its butt.
No, it's not possible to like them both. You're just confused.
You're the weirdest straight dude I know.
I know I am. I know. I admit that.
What's the one with the Daisy Dukes? I love that song, too. Katy Perry. Love
California
Perry
Girls.
Well, all you feminists love that.
California Girls. I love that. Do you have a problem with that politically?
No,
I
don't.
Girls?
Video. No.
Is it sexist? Making women wear Daisy Dukes?
I have a problem with that she spells girls G-U-R-L-S because Ebonics is going to destroy America.
That's why Chris won't buy Whiskas for his cat.
I won't because it spells it wrong. Yeah. It makes you talk like a New Yorker.
Come on, get in a feminist frenzy about making women wear Daisy Dukes and whatever. All right. Let's see if I can stir something up. Yeah. All right. By the way.
I will not protest Daisy Dukes. I will fight to the death for the rights of women of all races to wear Daisy Dukes as much as possible.
I need to be behind
in
that.
The wintertime,
right.
too.
All right.
Part of God's plan, ladies.
You know what? I may wear them to the Denver Sexy Liberal Show. I may wear Daisy Dukes.
With the hat, fuzzy hat with the balls on your head.
Yeah, with balls under my chin.
That's it.
Sexy
that was
and
no
liberal.
Hat.
Okay. According to, speaking of polls, American support occupied Wall Street opposed Tea Party. Oh, that's just why. Looky there, is what we've been saying. Time magazine won.
The whole world actually is supporting the 99%.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
54% favorable view of Occupy Wall Street, 27% favorable view. NBC Wall Street Journal poll show the American support Occupy Wall Street by 2-1, 37% in favor, 18% opposed. While more of you Americans view the Tea Party negatively, 28% in favor, 41% opposed.
Well, clearly America is a bunch of dirty hippies.
Occupy Wall Street have a net favorability of 19%, Tea Party net favorability of minus 13.
Yep.
Minus. Bye-bye. Okay, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we, kids? Neil Cavuto! Why? What are the chances? Someone has thrown me off his show.
Marvin the Martian.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll tell you, there was a time when I wanted to be an astronaut growing up. I was a fat kid. I realized I couldn't fit in the capsule. Aww. So I moved on. And I then moved on to journalism. My point is... intended jest here. That you have to realize the numbers that they are. This failed in the Senate. It's time to move on, right?
The jobs bill.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You know I love Husky Boy stories. Well, he was too fat to be an astronaut.
Well, he realized...
So he went to journalism.
He wanted to be an astronaut. He realized he was too fat to fit in the capsule.
That's when I started kicking hippies.
But he was just fat enough for Fox News?
Yeah.
It failed
in the Senate, and it's time to go back to saying Obama's doing nothing.
It's some kind of right-wing princess with the pee. That's so cute. He was just something. I used the wrong fairy tale. Anyway.
What? Huh?
Huh?
What am I thinking of? It was just right. No, I'm thinking of
Goldilocks.
Goldilocks.
The princess and
the right-wing Goldilocks. That was a different fairy tale.
Yeah.
It's just very touching that he told a little fat boy story. He's too fat to be an astronaut.
You know what? This may be the first time in my life I feel Neil Cavuto's
pain.
Well,
we wish him luck in finding a job in journalism. Because that's exactly what he's...
If you really want to be an astronaut, you can lay off the carbs for a month and lose weight.
Yeah.
He just didn't work hard enough because he's lazy.
He's also too tall to fit in the Mercury capsule.
That's actually true. Do you know you can't be over 6 feet and be an astronaut?
Right.
All right, Eric Bowling on the five.
Yeah. Can we show how Mr. Obama spent last night? Here's his solution to the jobs program. Take a look. Do we have a picture of this?
Oh, my God.
Oh, there he is. Another beer summit. It's like his fifth beer summit.
I hope he picked up the bill.
He's drinking that Guinness right there, and the Senate is voting down his jobs proposal, which, by the way, we waited for like 2 months until his vacation was done, his bus tour was done.
Mm. Oh,
so because the Republicans have voted down his jobs bill, so just because he's having a beer with some union guys, that's,
Do you love hearing Bush supporters complain about the president's vacation? Do you love that?
Yeah, and complaining about having beer when that's the whole selling point for Bush is you want to have a beer with him.
Right. I want to have a beer with a guy who drinks O'Doul's.
Yeah.
And Obama has a beer with a guy. Well, what? He's having beer again.
Something tells me he didn't just drink O'Doul's.
No.
Bush? Oh, no. Lots of guys choke on a pretzel and show up with rug burn on their head.
Sure. Just saying.
Yeah.
When a plane buses the White House and they evacuate the whole building except for the president and his wife, sure.
Listen, you can't accuse anyone in Fox of not being what's best for America, right, Sean?
People, politics is not our entire lives.
No.
It's most of my life. Work. It's my whole,
no, it's not.
Defeating Obama is my number one goal right now.
Here you go.
He just said defeating Obama is my number one goal right now.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yes.
Is that Juan Williams with his cackle? Yeah.
Yep. What? Mm-hmm. Now go be creepy to one of your interns, Sean, on the air.
Ooh.
Oh,
you ever listen to his radio show when he brings the interns into the room? Oh, I'm sorry. It's creepy.
It's like the right-wing Howard Stern. Yeah, right, darling. Sit down.
Send over.
I don't know what I'm talking about. I make you guys show up and wear something tight every morning.
No.
God bless you.
I don't wear these shirts by choice.
I paint those pants on Hal Sparks myself before every section of the show. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on Fridays with Bugle Saying on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard anyone say about anything.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Blue in Memphis on Twitter says, so, according to Katy Perry, owning the right to squirt whipped cream out of a cream puff brassiere is feminist?
True. She says
why
so.
Not?
She's a girl.
All right.
24 minutes
She's a California girl.
Yeah.
She getting paid.
Whatever.
Well, yeah, lots.
Jim has to watch it. He will.
It is.
All right. Just to supervise.
I give.
All right. As we continue through right-wing world.
Especially in America where people dream of women being able to do that when nursing. Just go straight to whipped cream.
Awesome.
Go right to the whipped cream.
Yeah. Baby's first sugar coma.
Speaking of making more husky boys like Neil Cavuto.
Yeah.
Now.
All right. Rush Limbaugh. Oh, I'm sorry. And there's yet another segue. Rush Limbaugh.
Did Obama go to church on the Sunday after 9/11? Do you think he would have?
Oh.
I mean, a lot of people, it's like Easter. You show up. I know Obama worships himself, and going to church could be, in his case, going to the bathroom.
Huh? You know, Rush Limbaugh hasn't seen the inside of a church since the last time he saw his own penis. Can we just point that out, please? Ronald Reagan never went to church.
Wow, he's retroactive going back and saying what he thinks Obama would have done if he had been president, whether he would have, and first of all, it wouldn't have happened because he would have been president, so he would have read the presidential daily briefing about the mornings and not
stayed
on vacation.
You know what Obama didn't do? He didn't go hiding all day on 9/11 because of a phony report the terrorists were planning to attack Air Force One on a Florida runway. Mm. That's what he didn't do. He didn't read a book to children while our country was being attacked. You didn't hear Rush Limbaugh talking. But the church thing, Ronald Reagan never attended services when he was in the White House.
Nope.
He didn't go.
Is he running?
And he said, I wish I could, but I'm too well known. I just don't have the privacy. Jimmy Carter had services held in the White House so he could do it. So
is he running out of material that he has to go back in the DeLorean things that Obama might have done wrong in the past?
Future and interior past improbable.
Mary Todd Lincoln, what are we doing with a shopping addict in the White House as the First Lady?
Are you out of things that he, are you out of the future? Things that he's going to do in the future?
Mary Todd Lincoln needed to do something because she wasn't getting any from Abe.
Yeah, right.
Well, can you blame Abe? My God.
Mary Todd Lincoln was fat, my friend.
They begged Lincoln to wear a bulletproof vest. He refused.
All right.
Kids. Too soon.
Oh, too soon.
Too soon
with the Lincoln.
Never
it's only been
time.
A century and a half.
Never enough time with that
tragedy. But the first act of that play was worth it, Abe, wasn't it?
Bill O'Reilly.
I do believe there is an anti-Christian bias in the mainstream media in this country. I absolutely believe
that.
Okay? And I'm not wrong on this. You know, I say I could be wrong.
I'm not wrong. If you are a Christian and you tell voters that your faith influences your decision.
You mean like Jimmy Carter?
The secular press is going
to... Like Barack Obama?
No, the secular press is going to... It's going to screw you. Sure.
Like if you were a black president and say he's Christian, but people will still say you're Muslim anyway and Fox will air it. Yeah, there is an anti-Christian bias. You're right.
I just say, what a bunch of whiners on the right. Seriously.
Yeah.
Nobody's picking on Rick Perry because he's a Christian. Because he's an awful debater.
Well, and let's point out there's a horrendous anti-teachings of Christ bias in the Republican Party.
Yeah, exactly. All right. And we end with David
Christ to be one of those hippies on Wall Street.
David what?
Exactly.
Ass man.
David Asman.
Oh, pardon me.
You've had dinner with the man.
You know I'm doing a panel this month in L.A.
I'm the ass man.
A radio panel with Roger Hedgehog.
Cock.
What?
Huh? What? Huh?
Roger Hedgehog.
Ass man.
You keep getting that wrong.
I'm going to call S.E. Cup on you.
General Motors announcing it's going all in on electric. Introducing the Spark. It's a mini car. No gas. All electric. But why? The answer is simple. The government and its green agenda are what's driving GM's decision-making. Is the government, is GM doing this just to sort of, you know, tilt their hat to the government?
Maybe they're doing it because it's a good business decision, ass man.
Yeah, maybe because most people don't want pollution anymore.
Yeah.
Cock. Okay. Hedgehog. I know. You finally told me. I keep getting it wrong. I mean, it's here in L.A. It's the talkers
convention
thing.
Am I going to need to dump you?
Excuse me? You wouldn't be the first.
I know.
All right. Bob in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Bob.
Hey, I was wondering if you guys all heard, of course, you know, Herman Cain was saying that he wasn't the flavor of the month. He was like black walnut.
Yeah.
And, of course, that flavor was temporary and was removed because no one was buying it.
Right. Haagen-Dazs stopped making it because nobody was buying it.
For the same reason. It was too nutty.
Yeah.
And now I think I heard him today say that he's not the flavor of the month. He's a Shamrock Shake, and he's going to be here for a while.
Oh, wow.
Shamrock Shakes are only around for a month.
He's his own special kind of...
He's every bit as organic as a Shamrock Shake.
You know, Michelle Bachmann's mad that he's stealing her crazy, for God's sakes. She took a little shot at
him. You don't give Congress a new revenue stream because they spend all the money and then some, because Congress is just a big money-eating machine.
Yes, you can do the math there, John.
Yeah,
giving
that's
the rich a really huge tax cut is that's too much revenue.
That's why she fought Bush spending us into oblivion so hard.
Mm. Because that would apparently be too much revenue to cut rich people's taxes to 9%.
What?
Uh-huh. 29 minutes after the hour, back with Tina Dupuy of Crooks and Liars. Next, Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller.
If they ever ask about me, tell them I was more than just a great set of boobs. I was also an incredible pair of legs.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll. Free from any way. Why I never John Fugel saying I turn my back for a moment and you make jingles while I'm gone. Mama's gone and someone made a jingle I didn't even know about.
Speaking of funny and smart, I want to bring on Tina Dupuy, managing editor of CrooksandLiars.com.
I'm a politician, which means I'm a crook and a liar.
Tina Dupuy is brilliant. She's funny. She's a terrific writer.
Tina does everything, and I just love her already.
No more unauthorized jingles ever!
It didn't even get me to first base. Don't worry about it.
I'm fine. The mind that voice isn't in it. Good morning, Tina. I hope you don't mind if I talk for a moment.
Oh, no, please.
You and John cheating on me behind my back. Well, all right, fine. So talk to us about Occupy Wall Street. It seems like they won this standoff, first of all, right?
Yeah, no, the Mayor Blake. I mean, it was one of those things where you have the fourth richest man in the country kicking out a bunch of protesters from, you know, the place that made most of his fortune.
Right.
As the pundits like to say, the optics were not very good, but you know, they kind of, they at the last minute, headed south.
Well, Tina, that's what I was wondering, you know, why he did that in the first place, because I'm wondering, is he reading the same polls we just were that came out yesterday showing Americans largely support what's happening? Is that what happened, do you think?
You know, we can only hope. I mean, this is something that has really resonated with people across the board. I mean, they're trying to paint these people as anarchists and hippies and you know, and students and the unemployed or whatever. They're trying to kind of minimalize who they are. And I've been covering Occupy LA rather extensively, and it's, you know, every walk of life, you know, people down there who have lost their homes and every political persuasion, too, which is really interesting. I was watching an old clip of the Tea Party rallies from 2009, and I thought there was one woman who said that, Bush did, you know, a little bit to raise the deficit, but Obama did this much. And if you really look at, you know, who hurt this economy and you want to be hyper-partisan about it, you're just being disingenuous because it's really been across the board. Glass-Steagall was repealed and signed by Clinton. The Glass-Steagall repeal was signed by Clinton in a Republican Congress that had bipartisan support in the Congress. And then, of course, Bush did his magic to melt the world. And so far, Obama hasn't done much to fix the problem or at least regulate these people.
Well, I mean, you know, and then you listen to, you know, a Republican debate, and apparently Barney Frank belongs in jail for, you know, they did get Dodd-Frank done, obviously. You know, that's the thing, Tina. I agree with you that Republicans watered it down, but at least there is some regulation, you know, under Obama. I mean, at least this is what I hope is we can harness the power behind this movement to get more real reform done. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. And that was the thing. I think the reason why these folks were not on the streets 3 years ago is because we had Obama. And I don't think anyone realized that, you know, that it can't just be him, that we all kind of have to be out there. And this is what democracy looks like. When I'm, you know, at Occupy LA, I wrote a story for The Atlantic, and basically they're teaching people how to work within the system, how to be civic wonks. They have a city council out there, and they're going through and teaching people who are just frustrated and don't know what to do about it, what to do about it. And it's a fascinating story if you get a chance to go read it in The Atlantic.
Well, right. And a lot, I mean, I love your take on this, your column, the willful deafness when it comes to Occupy Wall Street, because that's what kills me. It's not just, you know, what happens. It's how the media covers it. And, you know, you talk about, about being able to selectively turn off your hearing aid, you say, which is what the media have been doing with Occupy Wall Street. The demonstrators have said they want economic justice. Inevitably, a talking head will wonder, what do they want? The Democrats will say they want economic justice. An anchor will say, there's not really a cohesive theme with these protesters. The demonstrators will march with signs that say they want economic justice. A reporter will go, there's not really a central message permeating in the crowd.
This morning at sunrise, I was standing next to a journalist who was speaking into his phone saying, well, everyone's just hanging out here. Apparently, like, they've been given permission to stay, and now they're just hanging out. Everyone's just hanging out. I'm like, what did the Tea Party do? Were they building IKEA furniture? Of course they're hanging out. They're at a demonstration.
Right.
Right. The best reporting I've seen so far, and I am not making this up, Victoria Jackson. Let me tell you this because
she's funny.
Yesterday. She went down to like give everybody, you know, to bring everybody to Jesus and to tell everybody how they were wrong. And she ended up, the interviews that she ended up doing were these people who were A, hilarious, B, well informed, but C, also really sweet to her and answer all of her questions. I have no reason why she actually posted this interview, but it was incredibly informative as to why they're there and what they're doing. And, you know, so she's really come through for the left.
finally.
Maybe she was.
Now we know she's making it up.
Yes.
Well, she traded dignity for camera time a long time ago.
Well.
Yeah, I think we lost to Dennis Miller, but we traded former SNLers. Yeah.
Back, he's
apparently,
on tour
with
O'Reilly now. He's doing the unsexy
conservative
tour.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. But she unwittingly has helped us, John. That's what I'm saying. She didn't mean to.
You were there is unwittingly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, it seems like, you know, last night Occupy Wall Street to say they're calling the city's bluff. I mean, I think it does say something that they did their own cleanup, largely John Fugelsang did. He's very, very anal.
I was there.
Yeah, he's very cleanly. And
it was dark. That's the cleanest park in New York City, by the way. They were scrubbing garbage cans with brushes this morning at 5:30 a.m., getting that place so clean.
So what happens now, Tina? I mean, they obviously called their bluff. They said, okay, you know, you can, because they originally were saying they could come back, but not with gear, which means they wouldn't be able to stay very long, right?
Right, and now apparently that's not going to happen either. You know what? I'm not even a good person to ask about this because I am shocked it lasted for a month. We started buying 2 weeks ago. Crooks and Liars started buying pizzas for the Occupy, Together movement. We've bought pizzas for 25 cities so far, and you know I thought this would last for a couple of days and we'd be able to go back to, you know, a normal life. And it's now 2 weeks into it, and we're still raising money and we're still doling out pizzas. And I thought that, you know, a month ago that this is only going to last for a couple of days, and so I've been wrong on every count. I'm going to be in New York next week, and I had no idea that I was going to be there at the same time as the Occupy Wall Street was still going on. So this is, you know, this is bigger than I could have possibly imagined, and it's
because you're going to miss the sexy liberal show.
Yeah, and Tina, what how do you see this affecting or not the 2012 election cycle?
Well, it probably will do something to the effect of the Tea Party, where it will reframe the debate. Mm-hmm. I mean, eventually, they're going to have to wonder what the Occupy Wall Street people want, just like they talk about the Tea Party, even though their numbers have dwindled and they can't have conventions anymore because there's not enough people to show up and actually pay registration. Eventually, they're going to have some kind of voice, which is fantastic because we haven't had real liberal ideas in a very long time. It's been this kind of, cutting taxes and cutting government over and over again.
Ew.
Instead of what people, what all the polls show that people actually want, which is for their government to be, you know, it's not size that matters. It's
yes.
People who are actually doing what they're supposed to do. They're representative of the people and
it's
not
good
of
government,
corporations.
Not the...
I mean, all this stuff is really important to Americans, and we've been sold this kind of storyline that is A, false, but B, is not from, you know, the majority of us.
Well, you know, that's right, Tina. We've been saying, you know, is this the left's Tea Party? Will they, you know, push the party more to the left? And if so, I say good, you know, because
right.
It's like Randy Rhodes always says, gee, give him some more Democrats to work with. It's 42 after.
Right.
But, you know, that's the problem is a lot of times on the most progressive issues, we've been foiled by the blue dogs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, and what I found really interesting at Occupy LA anyway, you know, and I was asking some of the people, they have a tour. I took an hour-long tour of Occupy LA. It was fantastic. I was asking, you know, there was like communists next to Ron Paul supporters, you know, next to the LaRouche people and some union guys, and I was like, well, what about message cohesion?
Yeah, right.
You know, what are you guys doing to stay on point? And she said very pointedly, she said, you know, that is not what caused the problem.
Right.
All being on the same page is not what caused the problem, which I thought was really impressive because we as liberals often get caught up in what I've been calling a microcosm,
mm-hmm.
where everyone wants to save the whales before we can, you know, do anything about the environment, before we can do anything else. And
right, and the people that want to feed the whales hemp are really annoying to me
right.
when we're trying to get something. Tina, now, did I miss something there? That speaking of sexy liberal gatherings, you're missing sexy liberal in L.A.? Is that how is that possible? And huge error in judgment on your part. Pardon me?
I'm going to be live streaming it. From Twitter.
All right.
Oh, come on. Someone help me out here.
WTF, sister. All right. Tina Dupuy of Crooks and Liars. And I know about your pizzas. John Amato once pranked me and sent me like 25 cities worth of pizzas as well. He likes to do that kind of stuff. But Crooks and Liars, great stuff. Tina Dupuy, the newly jingled. And it's always a pleasure. We'll see you again real soon.
Thanks so much.
All right. There she goes. Tina Dupuy. That's John Fugelsang's crush.
Oh,
John made a jingle for a girl.
I didn't make it.
No, a listener
didn't
make it.
Yeah, I know, but he has a thing.
And you said she was newly jingled. She's been jingled for weeks now.
Jingled for since you were on vacation in September. She's
yeah.
been jingled.
Bastard people.
We jingled her good.
Yeah.
All right, boys. Steady.
Yeah, she's a smart girl. Too bad about her looks.
Steady,
yeah.
Steady.
Yeah.
Steady. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like being stung by a bee, or getting a splinter, or being chained to a wall in someone's sex dungeon.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Let me through, please.
Stephanie Miller.
This is way out of hand, like I'm so sure. What do you mean? Check the guest list again, Mr. Bouncerhead Muscle Man.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try it free. Visit GoToMeeting for 30 days. What? Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the try it free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Use the promo code Stephanie. Why? I feel royalty. Tom Hartman just walked in the room, ladies and gentlemen.
What?
Elvis is in the building. Liberal Elvis is in the building. Oh, hi, Tom Hartman.
It's great to be here.
We're close enough that when someone says he's here, I'm like, get in here, Hartman!
And I jump.
That's my mating call. Tom Hartman is here to be on Real Time with Bill Maher tonight.
Yeah.
Wow. I thought you looked so particularly sexy and liberal. You have a new hairdo something.
Like something, yes.
Like Marcus Bachman's just done your hair. It's fabulous.
Step by step.
So, 7 p.m., it's live, 7 p.m. Pacific. Eastern, live, Tom Hartman on Real Time with Bill Maher. We just had Alan Grayson on this week, who kicked P.J. O'Rourke's ass last week, and I assume you're going to do some ass-kicking as well. Who are you on with?
Penn Jillette's going to be there, and John Fund is going to be there, and there's one other person whose name is escaping me at the moment. I'm sorry.
Some sort of right-wing creation.
We'll see.
Some sort of right-wing media creation.
And no doubt Bill Maher will be there.
Yes. Yeah, presumably he will. So I was just in Seattle doing Sexy Liberal, and I told you, I tell the story, as I do every time I go to Seattle, of the time every single progressive host was lost on the way to the town hall. The driver got us completely lost, and we were late for our own show.
Yeah. It was a hoot. It was such a hoot.
And everybody
was like right on personality. You know?
Exactly.
Like Mike Malloy was like, I can't believe that.
Just you. Moron! Go! And Randy Rhodes is like, it's where the whole show! It's 15 after! We're going to be late! And then you, as I said, you were on the phone with Stephen Hawking, trying to get his sort of new global positioning system lined up or something, and I was...
Actually, Sam Cedar, you know, had the first iPhone. And he was the one who had the map out.
And I was in the back doing fart jokes. Hartman, is that a whoopee cushion? I think it's you. I was just there being unhelpful in every way, as I do.
You were marvelous.
Thank you. We were late. The driver had no idea where we were going, and we finally got there.
We walked out of the hotel, we got in the car, and he just took off.
Yeah.
And about 15 minutes into it, I mean,
we're just
literally
like,
15
we're not
minutes
even,
into it.
We're
Mike,
not even Seattle anymore.
Mike Malloy says, aren't we going the wrong direction? And Sam pulls out his phone, and the driver goes, well, where do you want to go?
No, because do people ask you that, too? They're like, oh, are you guys, is that just like on-air shtick? And I'm like, no, every progressive office is exactly like they are on the air. That's exactly who they are.
To New York just so you can cut across the park.
Exactly.
Which way do you want to come in from the airport?
Yeah. I think Malloy's hair got even crazier. He was just like, yeah, I'm going to kill you, you moron! Awesome, which is even so hot to me. Now, Tom Hartman, what Occupy Wall Street? John Fugelsang just came from there this morning.
I was there looking for a big rousing, but the police and the protesters got along really well.
Yeah. Well,
hey, John.
Good morning, Tom.
A disembodied voice suddenly appeared in my ears.
Yes, I'm in the Occupy New York Bureau.
I see.
God wants to talk to you, Tom Hartman.
Okay,
the ecclesiastical MOOC. So what do you think of this? Because it's not just Wall Street, obviously. It's all over the place, and it's, gathering steam. They obviously won the standoff.
I think that 2008 was a revolutionary moment. It was a FDR moment. It was a Civil War movement. It was a 1776 moment. It was one of those every 80 years, and Obama campaigned on change, that he was going to fundamentally transform America, was his phrase, and didn't. And he did a lot of really good stuff.
Yeah.
But the really big change, I mean, the Republicans, you know, over 200 pieces of legislation came out of the House that Nancy Pelosi passed, including one that would have brought jobs back home, that would have stopped the tax deduction for sending factories overseas. Republicans filibustered all of them. And so I think that the Tea Party and the Occupy Wall Street movement are both manifestations of the same thing, which is people want change.
Yeah.
People want real change.
Now, the first thing that always occurs to me when you speak is, damn, he's smart. And you know your history. We were just playing you Rick Perry's history lesson. I have to imagine, because you're not the regular kind of smart. You're kind of the extra crispy bucket of smart. What is it like being in Tom Hartman's brain watching a Republican debate? What's it like watching?
Nah.
Does your brain just, oh, God, these people are
It's probably like being the lentil that gets dropped in with a popcorn into the popcorn popper.
Yes. What? I don't just their grasp of history.
Everything else is going off all around you. You go, what the hell is going on here?
Tom, that was so random. I can't believe Herman Cain didn't say it.
I know. But I mean, their grasp of anything, history, math, science, what?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Does it make your brain actively hurt, Tom?
Yeah. And there are days, Stephanie.
Did your phone just quack?
My phone just quacked. That's Louise. We lived in on this houseboat in the river, and we had ducks.
Is that your ringtone, a quack?
Just for Louise, yeah.
How cute was that? His wife just quacked in his pants. Hi, Louise. He's busy now. Stop calling.
I think she figured it out.
She's like, dope. For instance, this 999 plan, what do you make of
it's
his
simple.
Going up in the... It's simple, and it's simply awful. It just makes no sense, and yet he's at number one right now.
It's a sad commentary on the Republican electorate.
Right.
Yes, raise my taxes 900%. Yes, cut Donald Trump's taxes, by 5 times. Yes, let's have poor people eat recycled food.
Yeah.
What the, this was the big question of my show yesterday. What is recycled? Oh, here, there she is again.
Louise, here, put her on.
Okay, look, actually, I'll hand you the phone.
All right, let me talk to her. What does she want? Does she not understand? Does she not listen to my show? Louise Hartman or two others. We don't know who it is. I can't. It's too late. I'll call her right after.
Okay. Oh, there's the speaker.
That's too bad, because radio listeners love one-way cell phone conversations on the air.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's all fine now. As somebody said, thank God you came out, because a lot of listeners wondered how Tom Hartman's wife and Mike Malloy's wife don't mind you dry humping their husbands at every town hall.
We all have a great time. But I really think that this is like, what is used food? Herman Cain, did you see this yesterday? Somebody asked him, you're going to have poor people pay an extra 9% sales tax.
Right.
How can they, they can't even afford clothes and things. And he says, there's used clothes stores. And then somebody says, well, what about food? And he said, used, let them buy used. And I'm like, wait a minute.
What do you mean, like a bird? Like whoever you regurgitate it into another person's mouth or something?
A lot of different images come up. Listen,
it's a lot of day-old sushi sales. Figure it out.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, is this dumpster diving, or is this, a whole revolution in porta-potties? I don't know.
No, used food. That's,
we're
business opportunity for Herman Cain.
I don't know when I had corn, but here, enjoy.
We're one joke away from a human centipede reference, I think.
There you go. Or Soylent Green.
See, only Tom Hartman and I can make a magical circle of something really smart and a fart joke. You see how I took what he, the beautiful...
It's the reverse Midas effect.
Literally.
No,
I made it into...
It's used food.
You gave me a lovely piece of coal, and I made it into a fart diamond. Now...
Something for each hemisphere of the human brain.
There you go. All three.
We have diversity on the left. See, even our radio shows, right? With something for everybody. When someone accuses us of, you're not discussing the issues, I'm like, no, you're wait for Tom Hartman. He's on in just a little bit. This is where you come for this. You don't.
Yeah, okay.
Well, now, you're pretty good with issues.
Aw, thank you,
Tom
Hartman.
You're brilliant with issues.
And you tell a fart joke now and again, I'm told.
I'm occasionally. I usually credit you.
Tom Hartman, good luck on Bill Maher. Don't forget, watch Tom Hartman on Bill Maher tonight on HBO, 7 p.m. Pacific, and TomHartman.com. He's on virtually every platform known to man.
He didn't get to see us in Minneapolis either. We got to get Tom to the tour sometime.
Yeah, he's.
That would be fun, John.
He's on. What are you on? Radio on
Free Speech TV.
Yes,
and radio stations.
People's fillings.
The fillings in your teeth. He's on some sort of satellite in the sky.
Got an app.
Yeah, he's got an app. He is an app.
There's an app for that.
I love you, Tom Hartman.
Yeah. I love you too, Stephanie.
All right, 15 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. John Fugel saying, sexy liberal, his own self is in the occupying the New York bureau of Stephanie Miller Incorporated. Oh, this just is. Bob Maddow, Rachel's daddy, is our fact checker here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Tom Hartman was just here. How fun was that? He's going Very to be nice. On Bill Maher tonight. So we always, when we see him through our studio window, John, we always grab him by the scruff of the neck like a kitten, and we just pull him in here against his will. He's supposed to be prepping for his show, and I just pull him in here and make him do the last 15 minutes. Anyway, Bob Maddow writes, Steph, if the town hall story you and Tom were just laughing about is from the year I remember because Elaine and I were there with Rachel, that's right, Rachel actually hosted one of the first town halls and had to read questions from the audience like, will Stephanie sign my ass?
Yeah.
And she's probably like, I got to get out of here.
I got to get a TV
television.
Gig.
This is just not above. Mm-hmm. This is beneath me. I'm from Stanford. Anyway, she said, as the limo finally approached town hall, we all saw a huge line of people waiting to get into the hall, and Malloy yelled to the driver, don't drive right in front of the place. They'll think we're a bunch of limousine liberals.
Yeah.
So the driver let us out a block away. He's right. I remember this. And we walked into the hall via a downstairs side door, which took us through a little theater area downstairs where there was a show featuring a whole cast of drag queens.
Oh, wow. Show.
Every progressive host in the world, including Rachel Maddow, and we walked through a drag queen show. It was like a liberal Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
We love you, Seattle. Oh, wait a minute. There's drag queens. Hang on. We're in the wrong hallway. Okay. All right.
That was the Moore Theater downstairs with Spinal Tap.
Oh, it was the most fun. It was a combination of Spinal Tap and being John Malkovich.
Labyrinthine.
Little doors everywhere, and you weren't really sure where you were going.
A listener wrote to me and said that they have a bar down underneath the stage that is for performers only. Did you
think
buy
I
that?
You think I would have found that, John?
Yeah.
They do.
I'm like a bloodhound. I smell a bar.
This is a tavern.
This just in breaking sexy liberal news. Roland Tool Director says,
Tool Director.
Well, we are tools. Whoa. But let's he's also a tour director. He's a tour director.
So it's back to the drag queens.
All right, the big hometown show, and Jim is just figuring out his little skits right now.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to
do. Sexy liberal in L.A., only a very... He says they're literally like single... It's almost in the double or single digits tickets left
it's
for Friday night.
It's going to be sold out. If you want to go buy your tickets today.
Yeah, L.A. box office thinks it will be sold out by the end of today, tomorrow at the latest. So hurry, your last chance to get sexy liberal tickets for L.A. next weekend, Saturday night, forget it. It's gone.
That's it.
Done. Okay.
Friday is the one. Special guest, too. Very special guest.
Yes, that's what I'm told.
What,
all right, and then we are still, some of the proceeds are going to Trevor Project, is our charity here in L.A., and they are still doing an auction, two very rare VIP tickets for Saturday night. They're auctioning them off on eBay. Mm-hmm. Go to Sexy Liberal Facebook for information.
Or Stephanie Miller Facebook, or Stephanie Miller Google Plus.
Oh, Lord, I got to get into that now.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention, Tom Hartman is not only an app, he's also a delicious dessert topping as well.
Hmm.
He's on on Free Speech TV and on the radio and on your fillings and also and a rug cleaner. What? All
and
right.
It looks like a shoe, but feels like a pump.
I don't know what that meant. It was funny. Okay.
I don't know what that means either, but females do. So.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. What? Yeah. All right. Wow. So speaking of Occupy Wall Street, did you see this? John was down there actually this morning.
I was there for sunrise. I wanted to see if there was going to be fisticuffs, but it was very peaceful.
Yeah, the cleanup was called off.
Well, because it's the cleanest park in New York City. These kids were down there scrubbing garbage can rims last night. The place is so clean. There's brushes all over the place. They really did a beautiful job cleaning it up. And
that's dirty hippies will do.
I can't believe Mayor Bloomberg thought he was going to win a standoff with these people. First of all, he's like 3 feet tall, isn't he?
If he's smart, he'll get on their side. And I think I think that shift has begun.
Yeah. A Kentucky Republican official said that he said, I feel like going Taliban on the Wall Street protesters.
Yeah, terrorist.
Great.
He wrote on October 9th, turn out the lights on the occupiers. I feel like going Taliban on them. He said, he elaborated, the Taliban, as they see it, is resisting occupation. I'm resisting the occupiers and very proud to be a one percenter.
So you're going
to
fly planes into buildings now? Is that your plan?
Yeah. You know what? I didn't see anyone doing at the Occupy Wall Street protests all the days I've been there or at Occupy Seattle. I saw no one carrying guns or talking about Second Amendment solutions.
Interesting.
Shocking.
Here's another part of what this is all about. Report, 25% of millionaires pay lower taxes than 10.4 million middle-class Americans. That's the one thing people don't get. I mean, maybe by the numbers until you keep saying it. How it's not just how it feels. It is as unequal, more unequal than it has ever been. President Obama's Buffett rule, obviously, aimed at ensuring the wealthy Americans pay their fair share. About 25% of millionaires in the U.S. pay federal taxes at lower effective rates than a significant portion of middle-income taxpayers, according to a legislative analysis. I mean, that's part of what this is about, isn't it, John?
You know, it's not like we're asking for it to go back to how it was under Eisenhower, just how it was under Clinton.
Right.
I mean, if you want to believe that raising taxes on the rich hurts the economy, you have to pretend the 50s and the 90s never happened.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I heard your favorite, Chris Matthews.
Fair enough!
Yes. Well, he was talking about how things are not fair enough right now. And but he made a good point about, you know, when you look at all this polling data, you know, you always do you talk about, oh, the president might have caved on this or that. Well, you know, the vast majority of the American people want politicians to compromise is what his point is.
I don't always say that, but yeah.
I know. I understand. Yeah. I was just trying to pick a fight.
But that leads to Blue Dog Democrats.
Exactly, and Blue Dog Democrats at this point are a bigger problem than Republicans.
Exactly.
Right.
Because the Blue Dog Democrats are the ones who stopped the public option. The Liebermans of the party are the ones who are stopping all this progress.
It's foolish to go after the middle, because they're fickle.
Yeah,
put more
Alan Graysons and Elizabeth Warrens in and help the president get something done that 60-70% of the American people
still
say they want done.
He didn't put Elizabeth Warren in instead of that.
Because she wouldn't have gotten confirmed. Yeah.
She wouldn't have been confirmed.
That's what we're saying.
The other
and now there's a chance she'll run. I'm already getting my Elizabeth Warren for president 2016 bumper stickers going, because I want her to take Scott Brown's seat, which won't be hard because the Tea Party is going to abandon that guy like Sarah Palin abandoned the people who elected her.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then Elizabeth Warren 2016. She's the one. The one who's telling the truth, and Republicans would vote for her if they heard her.
And here's the thing that you know, I think Chris Matthews was talking about the Americans seem to get in the polling is they still see that the president is the one that keeps trying to compromise.
I don't think the problem here, Jessica, is that I have not been unwilling to negotiate with Republicans. I've shown repeatedly my willingness to work
too much
overtime to try to get them to do something to deal with this high unemployment rate. What we haven't seen is a similar willingness on their part to try to get something done.
Yep.
Well, we're getting something done, all right. Grim Eager wants our president.
Did you see him on TV last night, Jim? We continue to listen to the American people. We continue to...
Wait, listen to this. We don't hear what they're saying, but we listen to them.
Every single poll shows the opposite of what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
The president.
The Republicans haven't given a good answer as to why they have not agreed to wanting to rebuild our roads and our bridges and our schools. They have not given us a good reason as to why they don't want to put teachers back in the classroom.
Because they're French and gay.
John, is he going to win on this politically, though, when he breaks things down like that into those parts then? Okay, vote against teachers, then vote against rebuilding our infrastructure. I mean,
Well, that's the strategy, is to do that. I think that was the plan all along, is to, you know, point out the problem is the Republican folks are watching Fox News, which will not be covering that part of the story. So it's going to really be about how much we can get the message out and how much we can get really catchy phrases out there to remind people of what's going on. And again, everybody who thinks that all the first-time voters in 2008 and all the black folks and kids and, you know, folks who had never voted before who turned out that first time aren't going to show up this year, wait till they see candidate Romney. Wait till they see what a lame tool this man is.
We've already come up We've already come up with Just Say 9 to 999. The best we could do.
Nine.
I want to say again, I said this the first hour, but all y'all making these 666 jokes about 999, it's deeply offensive when you do that to me as a Satanist, okay? Because my dark Lord and Master would never, ever try to make the poor pay 9% for groceries on taxes, all right? It's wrong, it's anti-Satan bias, and I'm sick of it.
We apologize. The President.
And if they don't want to support the bill, they've got to answer not just to us, but also the American people as to why they wouldn't.
Do you like that he said not this time? Not we're not going to move on to it's the next fight, it's the next news cycle, it's the next whatever. This is the cycle, isn't it? It's the story, John. I mean, I think he's smart to do that.
And they're voting against tax cuts. Middle-class tax cuts.
Exactly. That's the 53%, too. This whole disgusting I am the 53% movement that says 47% doesn't pay taxes, it's a lie. Yep. They don't pay federal taxes because people who are low-income enough have tax breaks, tax cuts they've been given, but they still pay state tax and they still pay sales tax. So this 53% thing is an ugly, misinformed lie.
Listen, you're focusing on the minutia instead of the major story, which is the mystery of Ron Paul's collapsing eyebrow. What the hell? What? Have you seen that? Look at that, Ustream. Check that out. What? I thought it was just me.
It's defecting to go live on top of Rand's head.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Rand's head attracts all kinds of hair.
It's like a caterpillar trying to get on Rand Paul's head.
Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
Yeah, that's a disturbing picture.
Yeah, his. This is, I believe I saw this first on media. Was Ron Paul's eyebrow collapsing during Tuesday's debate? The image appears to show a fake eyebrow just stone-cold falling off.
Yeah.
The New York Times reports Jesse Benton, the campaign spokesman, insisted Mr. Paul had been the victim of the elements, namely a heavy pollen season in New Hampshire.
I love that the New York Times...
The caterpillar is molting, and it will become a butterfly and fly away.
I love that the New York Times felt it necessary to ask Ron Paul's people about the eyebrow.
And he called accusations that he'd been artificially enhancing stupid and insulting. Dr. Paul's allergies acted up a touch. What kind of allergy makes your eyebrow fall off?
Yeah.
It's not just falling. It looks like it's melting off. It looks like a...
You know what? I'll post a link to that picture up at your Facebook page and Google Plus page.
So yeah, no, it's like a paste on eyebrow over his regular eyebrow. You can see that.
Oh,
it's like the fake eyebrow.
I'm not going to pick on the guy who's 50% sane. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it.
It's like pulling off that fake mustache or whatever after your Republican campaign for president. That's a Michelle Bachmann joke. No, I meant, like in Halloween, you've pulled a little mustache off.
It's his version of the Donald's hair. It's like really long, and he's combing it over to the side, and it just kind of collapsed in the rain or something.
All right. Well, at least we got to that important issue. All right. 17 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Fridays with Bugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, at least it's a good place to see celebrities.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
What?
Huh?
Yes, I was furiously doing business on the phone with Roland Sexy Liberal Tour Director. What?
That's all I do.
Oh, this is such a...
Yeah.
This show is such an impediment to my life.
How's Roland's jaw, by the way?
New York's treating him pretty ugly. New York is treating him like a Fed chair.
Roland's jaw and his dog's paw. He's had a rough week. But that's why we're getting him out to L.A.
A dog attacked his dog.
Oh. And a homeless guy attacked him, and a dog attacked his dog.
Yeah, and I'm going to say it was a right-wing dog and a right-wing homeless guy that punched him.
I'm bringing my cats over to mock his dog.
Yes.
Okay, so he's doing better.
I'm going to be bringing Roland
into the... He's coming to stay with Mama next week.
Is he?
He's coming to stay with me for Sexy Liberal.
I'm actually going to bring Roland into the studio next Friday morning when I'm there with you guys.
Awesome.
And Chris and Jim will get to meet the famous Roland, and we will torment him on the air.
Yes, good idea. Well, listen, people are more excited to meet him than us anyway. I swear to God, in Seattle, I'm on a street corner. Someone's like, oh, you're Roland, the tour director. I'm like,
We've had him on the air once on the show, and he sounded just as skittery as I thought he would.
He's like a poodle on linoleum. Yeah. He's my soulmate. You think I'm tightly wound?
He's a totally tightly wound agent guy.
He really is. Yeah. He's a skittery poodle in your front seat.
He's not an agent anymore. Thank you very much.
Okay, I know that, but.
He was my theater agent when I was off Broadway, and quite darn good at it. But boy, he's even better at bringing the truth to the sexy liberals.
Oh, absolutely, he's great.
He's the tour director of ladies and gentlemen, the number one comedy tour in the country this year. Hello, please and thank you. Why? Because of John Bugle Sang, Hal Sparks, and Aisha Tyler. Me?
You mean well.
I'm drunk. Exactly. I stumble around drunkenly and grope some people, but people seem to like it.
Yeah.
It's just to be working. I do mean well. Just stand off stage going, bless her heart.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Bless your heart.
Oh, gosh.
I had a neighbor used to say that.
Bless your heart.
Yeah.
I know what that means.
I'm plucky.
Shut up.
I'm plucky. John and Amherst, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Are you going to Sexy Liberal in Buffalo in November, John?
Steph, I was going to ask for tickets, but that
of course
was
you were, because you're a typical mooch. You're a typical Republican mooch.
You're a liberal who wants a handout.
No.
Dirty
Rebecca,
hippie.
Rebecca told me that it's just a very hot ticket, and that's fine.
Oh, not in Buffalo. They know Steph there.
I thought we hated capitalism, we liberals. What?
You mean you're making profit?
Yes.
You're making profit off this show?
Well, not off you.
Once they start paying us.
Not off you, because you're a moocher.
No,
dirty
Steph,
hippie.
Steph, I've been on with you several times.
Get a job.
I'm going to be in Buffalo, and I never asked, so I'm not a mooch. Just ask me if I was going. I guess it's sold out, so I don't go.
No,
it's not sold out yet.
Well, that wasn't too petulant. No, there's still some tickets left. Thank you.
Well, you can even make fun of me, and you can even make fun of
me. Listen, you'd probably get a standing ovation. It's Janet Amherst, everybody who drove up the transit to Shays. You're in Buffalo.
I'll make a bet that you won't, but that's okay.
I would. I would introduce you, wouldn't we, John?
No, Steph, I may just come then. What the hell, you know?
Come on. Yeah, we're asking you to come.
Hey, listen.
All right, go ahead, John. What's your ridiculous point for today?
Listen, that's fine. After I get off, I'm going to be gratuitously attacked as a racist and all this stuff, but I have to tell you.
Well, not until you say your usual racist thing, like the mortgage crisis was caused by a bunch of black guys.
And it won't be gratuitous either.
I want you to flag the tape, because let me just explain.
There's no such thing as tape in radio anymore.
I know. Herman Cain. I know. I'm old school. Herman.
Yeah, tell us how great Herman Cain is. Yeah.
You've got to understand, I mean, everyone's laughing at this guy. Oh, this 999 and all this other stuff.
Yeah, because it's awful.
However,
it's laughable.
You've got to understand, he doesn't have the organization like Mitt Romney. He doesn't have the money like Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm.
So if we get like an organic kind of a thing, and it really is organic, I like this man. I think he is fantastic. He's facing up to these stupid questions that they're asking. And as far as
what stupid questions?
As far as you'll see him on Meet the Press, but as far as one of them is the 999... Everyone continually throws, could you imagine paying 20% on your groceries? Let me explain one thing. He wants to scrap the entire tax code. You're talking everything.
Yeah, he wants to defund the government.
Yeah. No, listen, he's not defunding the government.
He can't scrap he can't scrap every individual state's tax code. He has no power to do that.
Yeah, there's no authority.
But that's okay. But, Chris, you got to understand, Chris, take a look at your paycheck when you get it.
I do.
The deductions up the yin-yang.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. FICA and Steph. Did you ever tell your
why are you
your
yelling at me?
Did you ever tell your employees about the 7.5%, 8% that you have to chip in for their Social Security that they never see because that's just a law? Do you tell them about that?
No, I beat
she
them
doesn't
up.
Pay anybody.
I beat them up for a lot of other things,
right.
But I don't mention
that's
that.
The way it is.
But you're right, I should.
Listen, you see your 7.5 on your paycheck for the Social Security. That's 7.5.
Uh-huh.
He's talking about scrapping that. He's talking about taking it. The business is going to not have to pay the 7.5 because you have to pay that stuff. You're the boss, I believe, around there.
Yes.
You're the one that's paying all this.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden,
and what's
now
your
you're
point?
Taking the 15 that you would normally take, Chris. Now you're going to pay 9%. And the government.
Listen, as much as they annoy me, I still want to treat them fairly. I mean, I don't like them, but that doesn't mean that I don't.
Wouldn't you rather give them an extra 5%, 6% in their paycheck right off the top?
You're only talking about one part of the tax code, John. You need to put everything in the big basket, and if you do that, I'm going to be paying a lot more in taxes than I am now.
Yeah, I find a lot of other
ways.
Yes. Yes, John.
Yeah, I find a lot of other ways to make your lives a living hell. Trust me, I don't, I just... All right, 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And odious
Stephanie Miller.
How dare you fill my head with such loathsome propaganda?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. Sexy liberal John Fuglesang panting heavily in the New York Bureau of Stephanie
you
Miller.
Okay?
Girlfriend. John?
Yes, I have a little bit of a cold. I'm trying to kick before I fly out tomorrow. I get it from being up at 5 in the morning and Occupy Wall Street.
There you go, and cleaning. I mean, it's probably
cleaning
fluids because you're
cleaning. They're so dirty there, because they're just so dirty. That's what I said on Fox News the other day. People are calling them flea baggers and calling these demonstrators lazy and dirty and saying how, some people are being paid to walk around there. And I was like, you know what? You're right. There is body odor down there. You know what there's not? There's no Koch brother corporate-funded buses shuttling people in. There's no country stars on elaborate stages with huge, giant LCD screens with giant flag decals behind them. It's real people building something. There's no corporate money behind it. It's a real deal.
They allowed you to say that on the air?
Oh, they totally did. And I even said to the woman next to me, I said, tell me when the last time a Republican president balanced a budget. Who was the last one? And she couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And then I said, and it's Nixon, of course. And I said, I said, how do you know they're bribing people to be there? She goes, because I know. And I said, look, some guy in the Midwest who pays a couple of Hondurans to walk around holding signs, it's not the same. They're not. I said, who? Give me names. She goes, I don't have to give you any names. And I turned to the camera, and I'm like, she doesn't have names. You know, just use their own logic against them. Their worst fear is that conservatives realize that Occupy Wall Street speaks for them, too.
You did the Eddie Murphy turn to the camera?
Oh, all the time on Fox.
You broke the fourth wall.
Those are the ones you're trying to reach. But let me tell you, if you want to get hate mail...
The Fox skit. Now we can't have nice things.
Go on Fox News for 5 minutes if you want to get hate mail, folks.
Oh, wow. That's where Sock came from.
Isn't it greatest?
Oh, yeah. It's hard. I mean, yeah. You know, I feel bad that most of them haven't quite mastered that whole your thing yet. That's kind of tricky.
Yeah.
What was your favorite from this week?
Oh, my favorite hate mail piece?
Yeah. Yeah.
I got better stuff on Twitter as the week went by. You know, it's all, I like them calling you a libtard, first of all, because, you know, calling people tard, always funny. That's what the good guys do. Please tell me you're not camped out in the filth to make a point, because your fellow Americans, of course, are filth. You know, it goes on and on. It's like Frank Luntz writes it, Roger Ailes airs it, and these people repeat it. And they keep fighting for one thing, the rich to pay lower taxes, because that is all the Tea Party has succeeded in legislatively so far, was continuing the Bush tax cut for the upper 2% another 2 years.
Yep. Wow.
There's funny stuff coming.
Here's some breaking news to nobody. A former Republican senator said Romney's a completely different person now.
Yeah.
Than he was 5 minutes ago.
You mean reversible mittens?
Did you guys see the who is it? Who's the late night comedian?
Jay Leno?
No.
The white guy.
David Letterman?
The white guy.
No.
The white guy.
Conan O'Brien?
No.
Yeah. Jimmy Fallon?
Yes!
Okay. Good Lord.
See, I knew. Flapping wires. Okay. No, he did a Mitt Romney sketch. It was funny. It was, hi, I'm Mitt Romney. No, I'm not. Like, he did a whole. Okay. It was very funny. All right. Yes, Lincoln Chafee, the former Republican Rhode Island governor, who he served as, Republican senator, says he doesn't even recognize Mitt Romney anymore. He said he's a completely different person as a presidential candidate than he was when he governed Massachusetts. He said the appeal you have to make to the Republican primary audience, that's just alien. Into what's not in our best, what's in our best interest as a country.
I'm a completely different person from two sentences ago.
And Lincoln Chafee, of course, you know, he was the guy who was a moderate, who wasn't a hardcore right winger, so he was drummed out of his job. Ann Coulter actually said they shot the wrong Lincoln, and she's allowed to still go on TV.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. And meanwhile, you know, it seems like everybody's coalescing around Mitt Romney. You know, John David Bender was explaining to us, even though Herman Cain pulled ahead in this poll, most experts are saying, you know, Romney's going to win. He's going to win New Hampshire. He's going to win, blah, blah, blah. But Rush Limbaugh came out and said, and teabagged Mitt Romney yesterday. Said he's not a conservative. He's a very nice fellow. I've socialized with him. I've had adult beverages in my veranda with him. Along with Clarence Thomas, however, it's not a conservative.
Yeah, by the way, the New Hampshire primary has been moved up to yesterday.
Really? What? Oh, no. Right.
As of right now, it is December 3rd. Holy.
Can you believe it? Yeah. The 2012 primary is in 2011.
Yeah.
Is that part of the war on Christmas?
That's premature registration.
Wow. That's a little too early.
Hey, Ecclesiastical Mook, you've been talking about this morning. National support for the death penalty is at a 39-year low.
Amazing. I can't believe it.
New Gallup poll. Still 61%, but that's the lowest since 1972. The survey reveals Americans feel less confident that the death penalty is applied justly, you think, with only 52% saying it's applied fairly. The all-time high was 80% in 1994. So, interesting. And I wonder if it's a lot of this, you know, whether it's Troy Davis or stuff like that, where you literally, there is some reasonable doubt.
Or maybe people have put down the Left Behind books and are actually reading the Bible and realizing that Jesus was 100% opposed to the death penalty in every case.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe.
Right, it's time for an update on the Whitney Houston story. What now?
Oh, thank God.
Yesterday, I love this. Delisted, Whitney Houston was up to her old bitch diva theatrics yesterday. Seatbelts are whack. She refused to fasten her seatbelt before taking off on a Delta flight out of Atlanta. A second crew member approached her to ask her if she didn't strap in, she'd have to shoop off the damn plane. So Whitney had a choice, get kicked off the plane or buckle her seatbelt. Whitney took what was behind door number diva and allowed the flight attendant to fasten her seatbelt for her. Like a toddler?
Oh, no.
I love delisted rights. You have to be a brave bitch with some steel hands to come at Whitney. Imagine having to buckle her and it'd be like trying to wrap a baby bib around a great white shark. But her publicist has chimed in?
She blames it on exhaustion.
Well, I'm exhausted from this damn sexy liberal tour and I fastened my seatbelt.
Too exhausted to fasten your seatbelt? What?
I got
You know, it's very sad.
Yeah. I have to get some more press for Sexy Liberal. I need to do something on a plane somewhere, John.
If you don't, I know. Well, I'm hoping we get protesters with tea bags on their heads so the liberal media will cover our tour.
Yeah.
But poor Whitney, this is just, you know, look, anyone who's ever loved an addict knows that the more you play dumb about it, the more you're an enabler. And it's just really, really sad because she has one of the greatest voices in the world.
Sure.
I know.
At this point, we're just rooting for her to live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you think that dropping Bobby Brown would be enough, but it's not.
Oh, wow. So here's a money don't buy happiness. Just a story to make you feel better in a bad economy. Billionaire Walmart heiress arrested for DWI. Alice Walton, who is the daughter of a Walmart founder, Sam Walton. She's the 10th richest person in America arrested for DWI.
She can't hire a driver?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually people that rich, they're driven. They don't drive.
Driving this Walmart.
Yeah.
No cab, nothing?
I've seen Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I know what goes on with those rich people. They're driven.
Did they have a greeter at the prison?
Wow, I didn't know this one. Meg Ryan and John Mellencamp are still together. I didn't even know they were together.
What?
No one tells me anything in Hollywood.
You did a story on it in
did
a tinsel.
Really?
Celebrity Stack a while ago.
Really? Fascinating. after all these months and a summer vacation in Europe, Meg Ryan and John Mellencamp still very much together. They started seeing each other January 2011 after John split with his wife of 18 years.
Yep. I hope he runs for Senate in Indiana.
I love him. He's the official male rock star of the Stephanie Miller Show, as you know.
I want, as much as I love him touring with Dylan every summer, I want him to run for the Senate in Indiana.
Is he going to? I mean, I've heard rumors.
It's been talked about a lot, but
probably not.
I don't think they'd let him smoke in the Senate.
No.
You're right about Occupy Wall Street. Our side, we're cooler, we have better musicians. Just saying.
Exactly. Thank you.
I'm just saying, I enjoy the bongo drums.
Look at who played at Obama's inaugural. You had U2 and Springsteen and 97-year-old Pete Seeger. And then who do you have at the Republicans? Well, who? Toby Keith?
No, it was Biz Markie and JoJo.
Oh, and Biz Markie broke my heart, man. I love Biz Markie.
Oh, you. Yeah, that's
got what I need.
Great song.
You know, that really doesn't need embellishment, but thank you. Thank you for that.
As Stephanie's audience runs for the bomb shelter.
Automatically.
Oh, wow, where's the radio show? Back up there on the cliff.
Boy. Yeah, well, here is a shocking. Is Dick Morris charging candidates for softball interviews? I'm going to say yes. Prostitute toe sucker Dick Morris has conducted interviews with presidential candidates Herman Cain and Michelle Bachmann. I swear to God, he seems like that when he interviews. He seems like Jiminy Glick. He's like a political Jiminy Glick. Have you seen him slobber all over every candidate?
Yep.
He's promoted the interviews in a series of emails to his mailing list, at least 9 of which indicate they were paid for by the Cain and Bachmann campaigns.
Wow.
During a June appearance on Fox and Friends, he explained, though he has been keeping in touch with some of the candidates, he's not endorsing someone because I want to be impartial in my commentary.
Of course. I'm Dick Morris, and I've been wrong about everything for 10 years, and Fox still pays me.
That way he can still keep taking money from all of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you think he's ever asked Michelle Bachmann to suck her toes?
Ew.
I just love your work.
Well, Michelle Bachmann needs to get it from somewhere, I suppose.
Stop. Yeah. Stop. Stop.
What? What?
I don't know what
I said.
I know. Her whole campaign staff pulled out faster than Marcus after breeding duty.
You know what? You cannot hurt Marcus.
The Lord's work is done.
You know why? Because he's super. Yeah, thanks for asking. Thanks for asking.
Ah, thank God, that's over.
Thanks for asking.
All things considered, I couldn't be better, I'm a fan. I'm feeling super, nothing bugs me.
Yes,
everything is super when you're, don't you think I look cute in this hat?
Thanks. Okay, speaking of softball interviews, Romney praises Fox after they grant him a typical softball interview. What is the point of interview? It's not even an interview on Fox News.
No.
It's a coaching session.
Fox and Friends interviewed Republican nominee Mitt Romney, giving him one of their typical softball interviews, allowing him to attack Obama and promote his economic and foreign policy without fear of any challenge from the three co-hosts. Immediately following the segment, Romney rewarded Fox and Friends by ironically praising Fox for their history of providing fair and balanced reporting and pointing out both sides of the issues.
They're fair and balanced, just like corporations are people.
Oh, the interview. Oh, this is how it started. The interview began when Ducey, of Ducey and Ducier, as John calls it.
He was nice to me now. I got to stop saying that.
Called Romney Mr. President. That's how it started. And then from there, it became softball.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Near the end of the interview, Gretchen Carlson aired a clip of Ducey cleaning the Massachusetts State House on Fox News' 10th anniversary while Romney was still governor. After the clip, Ducey prompted Romney's praise of Fox, asking, Governor, what kind of impact has Fox News Channel had on America looking back 15 years?
Oh, my God. Wow.
Well, let's see.
Romney,
we got a president impeached.
Me. Yeah. Praise the fair and balanced.
But enough about me. What do you think of me?
Yeah. What has Fox News done? We got a president impeached. We supported a war that cost 3,000 military lives and made us bankrupt. We endorsed the Bush budget that made us bankrupt. We opposed the Clinton budget, which balanced the budget 8 years in a row. That's what we've accomplished.
Mm-hmm. 45 minutes out after the hour. John, you know how on Fridays I do that thing? Where I have where I gotta go because I got stuff going on, and then it becomes Fridays with Fugelsang and your own little special little, and you could make a new jingle.
I could with all the time I have. Yeah, thanks for prepping me for it.
And I don't give you any warning, and then because it's Fridays with just Fugelsang.
All right, but you better not hug the covers this weekend if I do this for you.
All right. Chris LaVoy is giving me the dirtiest fuck. All right. Don't forget, the LA show, the Friday show will be sold out probably by the end of today, so get those tickets at sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook, sexyliberal John Fugelsang for the next segment. I'll see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't know what that means, but I like the sound of it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Fight the power. Fight the power.
Fight the power. We gotta fight the power, Aunt B.
Oh, I thought it was Fight the Power. I thought it was Fight the Power, Aunt B.
No.
Andy Griffith.
Floyd the Barber was a hero to most. That is the great Public Enemy with a song that's 22 years old.
Yes.
Fight the power it takes a nation of millions to hold us back. I live in hope that Public Enemy will reunite. However, I will say that you will see Public Enemy reuniting, Talking Heads, Pink Floyd, Guns N' Roses all reuniting to open for the cast of Glee before the 999 plan ever becomes the law of this country. This is John Fugelsang. It's the Stephanie Miller Show here for the final block. Quick plug time. We will be playing at the L.A. at the Wadsworth Theater next Friday and Saturday. Saturday has been sold out for 5 months. Friday will be sold out by 5 o'clock today. So get your tickets now if you know what's good for you. Very, very special guest joining us Friday, but I don't think we can say so yet, can we?
Well,
I know you guys have been hinting at it all week.
Rebecca and Jim and I are going to be there.
Rebecca and Jim and Chris will all be there, and they'll be on stage. I will be dragging all three of them out there. and maybe someone else, too, who fans of the show might recognize. Just maybe. We'll see photos after that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I will be on Up with Chris Hayes on MSNBC tomorrow morning. I think that makes me the first repeat guest. They have me on Saturdays, so no one will see it because it's on at 3:30 in the morning. But have you guys seen Chris Hayes' new show?
No, I haven't.
I have. I've seen clips on the interwebs.
It's incredible because it's really the first time MSNBC has had a prison furlough on the weekend.
Yeah, I know.
MSNBC gets out of jail from the weekends for a few hours with Chris Hayes' show.
I like him as a host. He's funny, yet really, really smart.
Mm-hmm. He puts really cool panels together, too. I was on the first episode with Bob Herbert and this really cool conservative from The Atlantic and Alex from MSNBC, who won't stop calling me. So
Alex Wagner?
Alex Wagner. Oh, my God. You know
she's
what?
Hottie.
She's even prettier in person. Just ridiculous.
Down, boys.
No, well, hey, man, look, Fox has all their fake blondes. We have real brunettes. And,
right.
Boy, she's smart. She gets the job done. She's brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, and really, really nice, too. So please get up early in the morning and be miserable all day because you got up to watch me on the Chris Hayes Show.
Or set your DVRs because that counts towards the ratings as well.
It's becoming the most DVR'd show on TV. And
Chris
is a friend of this show as well. He's been on with both me and Steph. He sat in for a whole hour when Steph was on vacation with me here in the New York Bureau.
Uh-huh.
Here in the tiny service closet that we
Well, that's all in Manhattan. A tiny service.
Yeah.
You guys, if in the Burbank studio, they have sunlight pouring in all day in a very nice, spacious room, and you'll get people like Tom Hartman wandering in.
Yeah. Right.
We have a beautiful view of mountains and of the NBC studios, and
it's fantastic. Yeah. Universal Studios right there. I mean, where I am, I know the Anne Frank family had cramped quarters. However, they had ventilation, is all I'm saying. And the only person that's ever wandered into this studio is Neil Bortz, and so that's.
And Neil, let's not go into
him. Well, speaking of Anne Frank, if I can put a little plug in, I've watched Chillerama because I'm in the Diary of Anne Frankenstein in that.
Really? And what is where can people see Chillerama?
I don't know yet. Probably on the interwebs somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. So it's like an internet show or something?
It's a movie, actually.
Fantastic. I'll look for that. Well, then I should also announce that I will be appearing in a very, very interesting role on the Onion News Network of IFC.
By the way,
because once it airs, I can finally post all my photos from it, because I age 80 years in the course of one episode.
Yeah.
They show, I play an old journalist who died, and they show my career throughout the decades.
Wow.
And it's the funniest show on TV.
Yeah, I started watching that show on your recommendation. It is hysterical.
This week's is so funny, I can't believe it's on American TV.
Okay.
The new episode is outrageously funny.
Okay.
What is it again?
Onion News Network.
Okay.
The Onion's TV show on IFC.
Yep.
And you can't go wrong. And a lot of really great New York actors are on that show, and me. So it's really a pleasure to be on it.
It's really well written, really well acted.
Great.
Yeah.
Am I not on it?
Well, if you like the Onion newspaper or the Onion website, the TV show just blows it all away. It's shockingly funny.
Oh, that's great.
And really sharp stuff. It's quite a week, of course. We had the debate, or as I called it, King Romney and the Knights of the Trickle-Down Table. I really enjoyed seeing them sitting around a round table, although half the candidates maintained the table was flat, not round. And, Herman Cain might become the first black man ever to get another black man reelected president.
Yep.
That's what we learned.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Here's the other thing, too. I was on Fox the other day, and I brought up the fact that George Bush, cut taxes for the wealthy while waging two wars off the books. And the conservative next to me goes, oh, yeah, blame Bush. Keep on. You're still blaming Bush? Still blaming Bush? And I'm like, when are you going to start blaming Bush?
Exactly.
I still blame Bush. Bush can't undo what he did. He can't uncause what he caused. So, yeah, I still blame him. I still blame George Lucas for Jar Jar Binks, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you blame the people who did it.
Stop blaming Hitler for the Holocaust.
Stop blaming Hitler. Oh, blaming Hitler for annexing the Sudetenland. Still. Well, there you go. I see. Germany invaded Poland. Blame Hitler. Still blame Hitler. Exactly. Look, and it's not just blaming one party either, folks. We can assign responsibility. Bill Clinton was dynamite on Letterman this week. We love Bill Clinton, but we can acknowledge, and Bill has acknowledged, derivatives didn't help, okay? Glass-Steagall being repealed is one of the big causes of this meltdown. And even bigger, I'll still keep on blaming NAFTA. Because remember, NAFTA was going to stop all illegal immigration? I'm still waiting for my NAFTA prize
in
the mail.
Can it finish?
Yeah, Ross Perot was right about everything. We're going to ship your jobs overseas, but don't worry, they'll come back somehow. It's Hogwarts stuff. We can't really explain it. And it hasn't happened. It's bipartisan. And one of the great things about Occupy Wall Street, gentlemen, is that it's not some bobblehead, dittohead Democratic Party force like the Tea Party. I mean, let's be honest. There is no such thing as the Tea Party. There are embarrassed Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it. There is no other party. They're all Republicans. They all vote Republican. There is no party. The Tea Party is a brilliant subterfuge to make you forget the word Bush. And if Bush is your drinking game word when you watch a GOP debate, you're going to be a sober guy driving everybody else home that night. Because if your drinking word game is Bush or middle class or Bin Laden, you ain't getting nothing.
Right.
If your drinking game word is 999 or Obamacare, well, you're probably in an alcoholic coma by now.
Yeah, it's funny how the Republicans don't mention Bin Laden anymore now that.
Bush disappeared. I mean, it's like this collective amnesia. It's horrifying. It's terrifying that this Tea Party amnesia. I mean, I think Tea Party is an acronym for total economic amnesia. Oh, I can't even remember the rest of my joke. it looks like this is the week where everyone's just admitting that Mitt Romney's going to get the gig. And that's amazing because it'll be two elections in a row where the Republicans nominate a guy that Republicans hate for president.
Yeah.
But, I mean, 23% across the board, it's every poll for months. That means 3 out of 4 Republicans hate this guy, and he's going to be the guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unless Herman Cain gets it, then watch racist heads explode.
Yeah, they're not going to know what to do.
I know, right? Doesn't reverse racism mean technically being nice to people?
Yeah.
Well, think about that.
Yeah.
In the meantime, it's been an honor having this cluttered last 5 minutes of the show with
y'all.
It's
been fun.
For Chris Lavoie, the great, great Emmy-winning Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor, this is John Fiegelsang. You've been listening to The Stephanie Miller Show. Steph will return next week and buy your tickets for next Friday in L.A. They're going fast.